Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
What's the deal? And welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off, the nerd show of the Blackout Tips Premium Network of Podcasts. I am never on this show by myself. I don't do solo shows. What I do is have co-hosts on my show. Today's co-host for the Nerd Off is, of course, Neo Nerd Karen.
Yeah. How y'all doing?
What's going on, man? I'm glad to see that you can make the show again.
Me too.
We also have a person that he was out last week. I'm assuming doing some type of impossible white man karate training or some shit. But it's my man Chris from the Insanity Check podcast. He back.
What's going on, people?
Chilling, man. It's good to have you back. Of course, thanks to Najayla who did the show last week, kind of filling in for Chris, who's kind of become the de facto co-host of the show, man.
Yeah, man, I love doing it, man. I love having a show where we just talk to other fellow nerds, and we have our own little nerd space where we take back the N-word, man.
So, of course, we start the Nerd Off pretty much every week with the same couple of questions. I like to keep it simple here. And I'll actually go with Karen first. Mm-hmm. What you been playing? What you been watching?
I've been, and it's not playing. Roger said it's not playing because I don't have any games that I actually play on the Xbox One, but I actually play with the Xbox One. So I consider that playing a game because the whole system is a game to me. So I've been enjoying that and talking to it and having it talk back to me and recognizing and waving at it and loving on it and been doing all that good, great stuff with it.
Well, if it talks back to you, then if you got some firmware that nobody else got. It doesn't talk yet. You think about Siri or something.
Not talk bad, but when it flashes up, I can read it. So as far as I'm concerned, it's talking back to me.
Hey, I saw you. I heard you showing it off for some of our guests the other day who came over. I was sitting in the other room. It was like, Xbox on. Xbox do this. I was like, what's going on over there, Karen?
But I figured out how to do some things. I think I'm special now.
So you finally put down Blue Dragon or something?
No, I'm going to get back on that. But Blue Dragon don't have the same appeal when I got a new gaming system.
The shine got taken off of that, huh?
Yeah. I was like, do I want to play Blue Dragon or do I want to sit here and walk into the room and have it say, hey, Kay, how you doing?
Yeah. Yo. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was going to say that, again, that was just a sign that we all saw that how we knew that you guys had that Xbox One, yo. It's like Karen started playing, showing up on Raptor playing Blue Dragon.
We're
like,
Yeah, Xbox One is like the ADD machine because it does so much at once. There's like you can really sit down in front of your TV for hours and just wake up hours later like, what happened? Because it like anything you can think of, it could just like give you that fix. I mean, it's like, oh, NBA is going to commercial. Xbox, play Call of Duty.
Yo. Yes. So, you know, after, you know, it's no surprise. After I did the last Black Eyed Tips, you know, I converted to the religion of Xbox One. You know, I just needed somebody else to do it first. So I went and converted. I'm all in. And I do things. Again, we were talking about this a little bit before the show started. The reviews don't really tell you how awesome this thing is because they just nitpick it to death. But I was doing some shit like, I was watching TV and I was like, huh, I wonder if it's on Amazon Prime. So I'm going through, like, I'm going through Netflix and I snap the TV. So I'm watching TV as I just go through my Netflix queue. Cause this is what I do sometimes. I'm like, I don't want to actually watch something on Netflix. I just want to see what's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through Netflix as I watch TV. And then I was like, well, let me see what's on Amazon Prime. So then I go through Amazon Prime as I watch TV. And I'm like, people going, so you don't want to do this? Like, you see no appeal to this. I'm playing a game, and I'm just doing, like, I'm not doing anything with the story mode. I'm just kind of, like, you know, leveling up and, you know, do the tedious tasks in the game. So I'm like, well, there's a fight on. Let me watch a fight while I do this. And, you know, I'm doing that. And I see all these people going, why would I want to watch TV as I play a video game? And I'm like, why wouldn't you?
Right. That's right.
Why wouldn't you want to do
this? It's the best shit ever, Chris. And we got NFL Network. And it's nothing more spectacular than watching NFL Network. And this has got to the point where a lot of times I literally will forget the Xbox is on until I see something like pop across the screen and Roger get a message. I'm like, oh yeah, this shit is on.
Oh, no bullshit. One of the for the first problems I had, and again, I feel like a lot of the problems that people have with the Xbox One is that it's so new they don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
And that's the first problem I had with the Xbox One when I first got it was I used to turn the TV off using the remote and the same.
Yes.
Internal. And so it wasn't the Xbox fault. It was my fault because I would leave the room and I would turn the TV off and I'm like, Oh, that's right. I just gotta, okay, I got it now. It's like,
yeah.
That is a,
like, that's like my shit problems, now. Yo. That's my shit now. Like, turn, that Xbox turn off is my shit, dog. It'd be late at night. I'd be like, all right, I'm about to go get into bed. Xbox, turn off. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the other thing, too, that I like about the, you know, that I took, that you just kind of get used to taking for granted, is whenever you, like, whenever I like to do stuff around the house while I watch, like, Netflix or video games or even live TV. Mm-hmm. And I got used to, like, waiting for commercials, waiting for the end of an episode, whatever. And now I'll just be like, Xbox pause, go in there, get the clothes out the bin, come back in, Xbox play. Like, that's the kind of shit that I'm talking about that, like, they just don't convey that in the reviews because mm-hmm. it's hard to really tell people, like, yo, this shit just cool as fuck. Like, I don't know how to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't even know if you can explain it in a interview, in a review without cursing.
Right.
And it's it's so much easier to just be like, well, sometimes when you say Xbox on, it doesn't turn on right away. Or you have to, you know, sometimes I notice that I had to get closer to the screen, or you'll forget a command and you'll be sitting there going Xbox off when it's Xbox turn off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'll see them write that shit for three paragraphs and you're like, I guess it doesn't sound good. And then you get it and you're like, oh, no, this is fine.
Right. What people fail to realize is that it will happen with anything. Like, one thing I realized with like, Xbox not hearing me, sometimes I'm like, it's also where I'm at comparing to the microphone. It's like, am I in the back of the room off to the side somewhere? And I'm like, yeah. Xbox, turn on.
Yeah, or like, I'll be holding my phone in my hand. It'll be playing a podcast out loud. Mm-hmm. And I'll be like, Xbox off. It can't hear me. Like, right. It can't determine the podcast necessarily from my hand. I'm holding my hand to from in my mouth or, mm-hmm. Like, sometimes, I remember one time I was like, what's wrong with my Xbox? It's not responding to my voice commands. The AC was on and Karen had the dishwasher, which is really loud. It was on too. And I was sitting far away from the TV. So like, you know, but you know, obviously you just walk a little closer or sit up or whatever and just say it a little louder and everything works fine.
It really comes down to the fact that people would be like, man, I can't be 100% lazy. Like, yes. Yeah. People with like the people are like, well, you still have to use a remote. I actually like using the controller because, truth of the matter is, it's different than the Xbox 360, but it actually isn't. The homepage is actually slick as shit. Once you get used to where this stuff is,
yes.
You start. It's like any new technology. It's like, yeah, they changed it. But once you know where it's at, it's actually pretty fucking simple to get to places. And what I realize is that, like you were saying, if you're doing other things, that's when using the voice commands comes in. If I'm sitting there literally on the couch, then yeah, you know what? I'm actually probably using the remote to change the channel.
Right.
I'm not going to scream at the Xbox, change the Cartoon Network. Probably just going to pick the remote up, come sitting right there. But if I'm like, you know, sitting in the back of the room working on something or I'm doing some work or I get a phone call immediately and the remote is across the room and I need to mute the TV, Xbox mute works faster than me getting up and getting the remote. Mm-hmm. So it's like people don't understand that you use a combination of things. It's,
yes. It yeah. all adds up. Like, when I found out it could use my sound bar, mm-hmm. like that shit was like that just made things even better. Like,
yes, when you could just be 45 like, remotes got on my nerves.
Yeah. When I could just be like, I don't need my sound bar remote anymore. Like, just fuck it. And then I can also, you know, and with it using my sound bar, it turns it on and off. That's something I used to just leave my sound bar on all the time. Cause I'd just be like, well, you know, when I cut the TV on, I don't feel like cutting this shit back on. So it's just another remote I have to pick up. I couldn't get my TV remote to program my soundbar. So I was just like, fuck it, man. I'll just, you know, leave it on constantly. Now that it, can do my soundbar, you know, Xbox turn off, blah, blah, blah. Bam. Now that shit is off, you know?
Same thing with my home theater system. My home theater system actually is the one reason why it's actually messed up. I need to get a new one now because when I hooked it up, I finally got it recognized by the Xbox One. The problem is that for the Panasonic, for some reason, when you turn on the home theater system, it goes to their home screen and not the last thing you assigned it to. So I still have to pick up the remote to switch inputs for that, and that's not the Xbox One's fault. That's Panasonic's fault. But now, because I can turn it all on at once, now I use the home theater system more. Like, it used to be that I didn't always listen to everything in surround sound because it was a pain in the ass to always turn everything on and make sure I had all the remotes. Now I can control everything here with one thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck it. I'm going to do that. You know, it's like you said, it's just cool as shit, man.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is. And I play peekaboo with mine because sometimes, like, I'll be on the, we got a new chair, so I'll be on the corner of the chair. And if I roll over and start looking at the TV, it'd be like, hey, Kay. So, you know, it recognizes you no matter where in the room you are.
Yeah. And that's the other crazy thing, too. It's like people don't understand that when they're like, well, the Xbox One didn't recognize me when I sat down with the Kinect, so I'm just going to unhook it. I was like, well, you could also have just said, Xbox, sign me in.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You could have just used the remote. I mean, you have like people make it seem like if the Kinect doesn't recognize you, like it's a game changer, end of the game, like, oh my God, oh shit, I can't do anything. No, it's like you got like two or three other ways of doing the same shit. It's just, it's okay. Like I saw one person was like, yeah, I wrote a room. Yeah, you know, it didn't recognize my voice all the time, so I'm probably going to turn it off because I have privacy concerns about the. Blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up.
It hasn't even, I haven't even had any issues with it recognizing me. Mm-hmm. Like, as long as I'm in the frame of the Kinect, it recognizes me.
It picks you up.
100% of the time.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, usually when it doesn't recognize me, it's something I've done. Like, like a bunch of fuck shit in front of me. Like, the Kinect 2.0 joint is so good. And, like, second day I had it hooked up, I'm training, right? Come home, I'm down in the basement, I have my hoodie on, it's dark. I turn the Xbox on, it recognizes my dark black ass in the dark with a hoodie. And that's when I was like, oh, this shit good.
Mm-hmm.
The first Kinect was like, the first Kinect, I set the 360 on upstairs. So I even set the Kinect up to it because I was like, I have it, might as well. The first generation Kinect, yo, that joint looks like looks at you and sets a camera up. Looks like the Predator's view of everything. It's like it doesn't actually. It's not an actual picture of you. It's just like a blob, like you're like Ghost Hunters or some bullshit, right? This new one is actually like I said. Rod called me today. I'm sitting there watching TV. I forgot we're doing the Nerd Off. Lost track of time. He calls me. I was like, well, fucking, let me try answering it on Skype on here. I got to set my mic up and stuff like that. Didn't do it, so we got a little echo. But he's like, dude, you doing video? I'm like, oh shit, yeah, I didn't even.
I guess I am. I guess I am.
Oh, okay, yeah, man. It's like I see a little box of me in the corner, like sitting on the couch. I'm like, oh shit, it's clear as motherfucker, yo. So
yeah, that is so good, man.
The only problem I'm having with it is I'm so mad that Microsoft listened to the dumbasses.
Son,
me too.
You about to say my shit? Go ahead,
dude. Like. Right now, I'm only playing two games. It's one game I got digital. I have Dead Rising 3 and Forza came as a bundle. I went and got Battlefield 4 because I had the 360 version, so I got it for like $9. Mm-hmm. And then I downloaded Assassin's Creed 4. So right now, because Battlefield disc is in the PlayStation, that's all I'm playing right now is Battlefield 4 and then Assassin's Creed 4 because I can switch between those two effortlessly. People were complaining, like one of the reviews I said that, you know, it takes longer to download on the Xbox One than it does on a PS4. And I'm like, because you're downloading the entire fucking game.
Right.
They took that shit out. It's like, and that's how I know they're going to bring it back, because you still have to download every fucking game that you want to play. You have to download the entire game.
The entire game to your hard drive. You have to load the whole shit. Before, it's not like Grand Theft Auto 5 where it's like, here's your download disc and here's your play disc. No, you're essentially putting a disc only. The only reason your disc is in your fucking console is so because gamers were like, oh no, I want to be able to resell this disc. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for that shit, we wouldn't even have to worry about it.
No.
Right. And I'm always hearing people going, well, I don't really care that much about it. Dude, yes, you do.
Yeah.
The minute you have to get up and, like, you only don't care about it if you only play one game every week. But if you're trying to switch between multiple games, especially the way the Xbox, like we said, the way the Xbox sets up. So you're waiting for, like, you're waiting in a game queue to get into a Battlefield 4. You could go and do something else. Or you can, you know, you're watching TV and you want to switch. Your friends are like, hey, man, let's play Call of Duty. Man, I just played Battlefield 4. I can't play Call of Duty right now because I got to get up and go put it in the disc. So I guess I'm not playing now. Mm-hmm. Don't have to do that if you can just switch, say, Xbox playlist.
And it's the whole fucking purpose of this console is that you don't get up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I don't understand how people can act like it's okay that functionality is, you know, isn't in there. Like, well, I just wanted like my old days. Fuck you. You're holding me back.
Ain't that the truth?
I want to sit down in my fucking chair and be like, oh yeah, I feel like playing Call of Duty now and just play it, not, well, let me go get the disc and all this shit, man.
Because it's such a turnoff.
I don't even give a fuck about, like, it's, like, because this is something that, I don't even know about, I think I've said it on the store, but I don't really, keep games, like, collector's items. I pretty much, if I beat a game, I'll sell it almost every time. I will give that up this generation if I can just go disc free.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm cool with that. Like, and the thing is, because people are like, well, you can just download them all. Here's the only difference. I do like when Best Buy has a sale. I do like to get in on that shit. Best Buy will give you like, 10% extra if you have a gamers club. It'll give you, bonus credit when you trade something in, like from the old generation, right? And, I'll get like coupons and shit. I would like the ability to still be able to go get, say, Assassin's Creed 4 for $30 at Best Buy today and put it in my hard drive, download it. And I don't give a fuck if I can't resell it at that point. Right. I just don't want to have to put that disc in.
Right. Yeah. Like, and the way that, like, you're playing Assassin's Creed 4, you're like, and all of a sudden you're on Twitter and you see somebody go, oh shit, game's about to end, the game's on the line. You can go Xbox Watch TV, go to watch the game. You can snap it if you want to, but let's say you want to go and see the full screen. You just go right to the TV, you watch the thing, you go, oh man, that was great, everything. Then you're like, okay, let's go back to Assassin's Creed 4. You pick off right where you stopped. You didn't have to stop your game. It's effortless. It's seamless. Mm-hmm. Like, when they did that the first time, I was like, oh, this really was where I left off. This really, oh, it just, I can, oh Nick, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, why wouldn't you want to do that? And you could do that with any fucking game after you've bought it. You don't need the disc anymore. But we were like, no, I need my disc. Why do you need your disc? Well, because I don't like that DRM. Well, the DRM is a fucking disc, you asshole.
Right.
Fuck you. What the fuck you talk? are you stupid? Like, it's like, I don't understand. It angered me so much then. But now that I have one, it angers me even more because I see what Microsoft is doing and I'm like,
it's the, you assholes. It's the difference between like perfection and just really, 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 really good.
True.
It's like, okay, this is the one thing that I can see. And I mean, I have a lot of hope. I'm very optimistic that this will become, the way that they do games, and eventually they'll kind of add that functionality back in somehow.
Mm-hmm. And still give you the option.
Like maybe give you an opt-in or something like, hey, would you like to be able to go completely digital or something? Just something.
Yes.
I have a theory that they're actually just going to wait till the video game marketplace gets done. Because I think that once they have that done and they allow you to do the whole trade, sell, and that kind of stuff, then they can be like, this is why we did that. Because what was happening before was they were going to force you, they were going to have you download the disc and everything like that, but that marketplace wasn't going to be there right that day.
Yes.
So I think now they're just going to be like, okay, fine, fuck it, we'll just
wait. And gamers don't realize that they're artificially keeping the price up because of this. Like,
yes.
They're not going to lower digital game prices until they feel like this is the way we're going to make our money. You know what I mean? When they feel secure, like, okay, we can sell a game digitally for $30 and it'll still sell a bunch of units, that's when they'll feel secure. Right now, they don't feel that way because what's to stop you from just going up to fucking GameStop and buying the same game used for $20?
Because the thing that people forget,
you know what I mean?
The last generation, like I said, for the 360 at least, yo, they had some awesome sales, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Last bit of the year, I mean, I picked up so many different games just because it was like, they were like, oh, fucking end of the year, here you guys go. Here, $7.
You notice that they didn't start doing these sales until it got to that point where the secondhand market was basically made it so it's like, well, you have to now, like, and when they were like, you know what, why give GameStop any more money when we can sell 10 Tomb Raider for $10, but we get all the $10 for us. You know, maybe Microsoft gets something for putting it in the store, but we, the fucking developer, get money. You know how much we get when GameStop sells a used copy of Tomb Raider? Zero. Nothing. So it just seems so fucking obvious that, I don't know, to me, and I mean, I'm not going to continue to harp on it, but we've talked about it so much on this show from day one. And I feel like this is just confirming that we were right, that, you know, this new next gen should be totally digital. But let's slide into Karen, was there anything you've been watching or no?
I've been catching up on, I know I've been doing them Thrones with you and Patrice, but I hadn't watched it from the beginning. So I've been going back and watching the beginning of them Thrones, and going back is kind of interesting because, like, I see the relationships now, and it kind of helps me understand certain relationships and why certain things happen and how certain characters are how they are now. It's really interesting because there's some brother fucking and all kinds of stuff going on that I didn't realize.
Yeah, you gotta watch.
How are you?
I went to the very, very beginning, like the very first season, because I didn't watch it when it first came out. But I started watching with Roderick and them kind of wherever.
No, he said, how far are you right now?
Oh, about episode 5 or 6 of the first season.
Okay, cool. Cause I got like one more episode in season one to watch. Cause I did the same thing earlier this year, and then I'm gonna go into season two. But yeah, it's a really good show. It's just I don't have HBO, so I have to get it when I can download it. But yeah, I like the show, man.
Me
yeah.
too. I'm watching it on the Go app.
Yeah, HBO Go. Anything else you're watching, Karen?
That, and I also started back rewatching The Wire, because I started and I stopped. Mm-hmm. So I went back and I started rewatching The Wire from the very, very beginning. I'm like on the third or fourth episode of that.
HBO Go is a beast, man. Like, for people that, and it's pretty much free as long, you know, quote unquote, if you have HBO, like, they pretty much, if you have like an Xbox and shit, you can go get the app on there. Yeah, really great app, man. And the fact that they keep their library of everything they've ever done on there that's really cool for them, because a lot of these companies are trying to imitate them now. FX now, Fox now, CW now, but they don't keep a digital library back very far. Mm-mm. I was going to take this off season, you know, during the fall break, and I was going to try to get into that show that comes on CW right after Arrow, Tomorrow People.
Oh yeah.
They don't have the first 5 episodes or whatever. So why would I do that?
Right.
Wow.
This is and obviously it's a new show that you're trying to get off the ground. People probably have been waiting to check it out and binge watch it. Why wouldn't you allow them to do that? Because the only thing that's going to happen is a year from now it's going to come on Netflix and I might binge watch it then, or I might not give a fuck and it'll be canceled by then. So
true.
Give me the option, man. HBO is smart with that.
Yeah.
I just want HBO just to eventually at some point give me an HBO Go account without having to pay the full HBO package price.
And they said that they're working on that too, because they said so many people do that, and they say HBO loses a lot of money from Game of Thrones, which is like the most illegally downloaded series of all times. And they were saying if y'all just charge for it, a lot of people would just pay you for the Go service versus trying to illegally download.
Well, you know what? It's that catch 22, because on the one hand, HBO's like, you know, because they're running game, man. It's like anything. We need to be able to get you to pay for that old time, for that 75 runs of RoboCop that we're going to do in the month of February. In addition to the fact that we, you know, actually put money into like Game of Thrones. So they're in a bad, like, they're in a situation where if they said, okay, we'll just sell you Game of Thrones for a cheaper rate, people would hop on that, but then it would be like, I'm going to cancel my HBO. Like, I can do this. Fuck HBO then. I only want to watch this shit anyway.
And I think the biggest thing too is that they said they have a problem with cable companies, because cable companies like, fuck that. We want this money too, because the cable company gets a piece of that money too.
Yeah, cable companies definitely would not be cool with them. Like, because that's the thing. When you put HBO Go on your Xbox 360, you have to put your cable provider in there too.
Mm-hmm.
So they can confirm it. I guarantee if you were to be like, yeah, I just want the HBO Go, not the cable provider, they're gonna, the rates for HBO would jump tremendously, because all the cable providers are gonna be like, oh really, motherfucker? Well, now your shit costs $25.
Oh yeah,
or something, you know.
And that is why I don't, because my problem with Ace, whenever I get a premium channel, is I never watch it enough to justify that price.
Yep.
If you give me something like HBO Go and I can go back and watch it on my own time and watch it whenever I want to, then I can, I'll pay a smaller premium for that. You know, it's just, I don't want, like you said, the 75 hours of RoboCop in February, and all the channels are playing something that you're like, fuck, there really is nothing else on fucking TV.
Dude, that's like the catch 22 of it all, man, because
yeah, have 14 HBOs.
I wouldn't pay a cent for the HBO movie shit. I wouldn't pay a cent for that. But if you told me just HBO premium like content that the stuff that they directed and produced, I'd be willing to pay almost the same price I pay for HBO for that. So this is a real bad business. I mean, not bad business model, but it's a real,
it's the thing with all like cable companies, music execs and everything. They were late to the party when it
came
to doing things like streaming, stuff like that. And now they're trying to catch up and they don't know how to because now their model is fucking outdated. And so now they're trying to catch up and they don't understand what the fuck to do and they're confused. It's like, I hate to be them and I totally get their position on it. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like they keep doing this. It's like, we passed you by. Like, you know, look what Marvel, what happened with Marvel and Netflix.
Yeah.
Or skipping over these premium channels and going right to Netflix and saying, hey, listen, y'all, you want to make these shows?
Yep.
We'll make these shows with you. So now Netflix has this, and Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime's getting premium shows too.
Netflix is giving, you know who else is getting them? Microsoft. Microsoft is getting into the premium show. They're actually starting a documentary series in 2014. And it's gonna be exclusive, I think, to Xbox One or Xbox Live. I do feel like one of the things that Netflix and Amazon are doing though is kind of opening up HBO to that, where it's like, where HBO's gonna have to ask themselves a serious question, which is, do people really watch the other shit on HBO?
Ain't that the truth?
And if they can get if they can kind of get the balls to think about that question and go, no, then they could be like, well, why don't we just fucking give them what they want, charge them less, and actually we'll have less overhead. We don't need the licensing rights to fucking The Dark Knight. They can go buy that Blu-ray or pay for that on demand on their cable provider, but, you know, we guarantee we'll get, you know, I don't know, $10 a month from everybody to get Game of Thrones, Girls, and blah, 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 you know?
I really want to know what those numbers are like, because like you said, it's like, if it's a really good movie and something I really want to see, I've never been like, man, I can't wait until it comes on premium channel. Either I'm going to get it, and this is how the cable companies are fucking over HBO too, because the cable companies offer on demand of these
right
shows.
Away.
Mm-hmm. Right away. So it's like, why would I wait for it to come on HBO when I can just either get it on demand, I can get it on Netflix, I can go and buy the goddamn Blu-ray, I can rent it from I can do it for, get it digitally on my Xbox One. It's like, HBO and them are really, they're like dinosaurs when it comes to this shit. It's like, nobody sits there and goes, oh man, I really want to watch The Dark Knight Rises, so I gotta make sure I'm home at 9 o'clock
to watch it.
Dark Knight Rises.
Come on now.
Nobody does that.
That's right. Even if you record it on your DVR, you're still thinking like, I should have just bought the Blu-ray. I could watch it whenever fuck I want.
You go to the Redbox at your fucking 7-Eleven and get the Blu-ray.
Ah, yes, you can.
Yeah, you can get it from Netflix. You're right. It makes no fucking sense in the world with Netflix that HBO even shows movies.
Right. The only reason why HBO, Showtime, and all the rest of them, like Showtime, HBO have, they have like their boxing stuff, and like they used to have like Strikeforce stuff. I used to have Showtime just to go watch like some MMA stuff. Now that that's gone, don't have to worry about that. And their shows.
Yep.
You know, their TV, their actual, their TV series.
And the thing is, they already spend so much money making sure that everyone has something to watch all the time. Like, it's not like they're, for example, with Netflix. Let's say you only wanted Netflix so you could watch the premium shit. Okay, House of Cards comes out. They drop 13 episodes right away. You watch those in a month. Maybe you cancel your Netflix, because fuck it. It'll be a year before the next season starts. And that's the only reason you got it. HBO is the pretty much opposite of that. It's like, if you like something, they have something like it that will start as soon as that shit ends. So it's like, okay, cool. You guys are kind of into, you know, Boardwalk Empire. That's pretty, you know, pretty graphic and violent. All right. That's over with. Now here's, Treme or some shit. Okay. That's over with. Here's Game of Thrones. Okay. That's over with. Here's, you know, and it's just always some shit going where you like every, cause I've looked at my cable bill plenty of times, like, yeah, I think I'm gonna just drop HBO for a couple of months. And then I'll look at a commercial and be like, Curb Your Enthusiasm coming back?
Yeah.
Well, shit, I guess I'll keep it through the summer. And then I'll cancel that shit and, oh, wait a minute. They got a new series and it's, starring Matthew McConaughey. And fuck, you know, next thing you know, you're watching the shit year round. And they're so good at that, that they really don't need the movies. I don't know the last time I watched a movie on HBO on purpose.
Not on purpose.
Yeah, right. Who does that? It's
yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense. When you got everything else at your fingertips, you're just like, man, I got, and you got to lock yourself into a specific time to watch it too.
Yeah, it doesn't, yeah. I only catch movies on there by accident. And half the time I turn off of those movies because I didn't catch it from the beginning. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
At all.
What have you been, oh wait, and what I've been watching, let me just throw this out there, is Almost Human. I just love the show.
Yeah, I need to get caught up in it, yes.
I missed the last episode. I'll probably just gonna wait and, tell you to see the next one, and me and Kev will do, the last two episodes, but that show's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, yes, it is. I mean, they have the, Fox Now app, so you can catch it anytime. But, yeah, I love it. I don't even really have a lot to add other, cause I'm done begging people to watch good shows. I feel like, I got a good track record. People that's been paying attention when I say some shit is good. Cause I don't normally recommend most shit, is real good. And, Almost Human is that show that I feel like next year is going to be my nigga. You ain't watch Almost Human. That's going to be. My shit next year gonna be, what the fuck you mean you ain't watch Almost Human?
Right. By the way, since I missed, the last Nerd Off, I just wanna say, nigga! That Arrow mid-season finale?
Bruh! Man, hey, dude, Arrow is so good. Just everything.
Remember that picture of the Marine dude? That's the dude I put onto the review I wrote for that episode.
Yeah, the dude that's going off.
That's just how I felt at the end of the episode, dude. The dude just going the fuck off.
Man, that episode had everything, dude. And then the part where Oliver goes on a fucking Killer Instinct combo on Solomon Grundy.
Oh yeah! After having the ghost of Tommy give him that pep talk,
dog. And that's not even the end of the episode. Like right. That's how good that episode was. That shit happens like 40 minutes in. Like Then there's 20 more minutes of other shit. Oh, so good.
God. Oh yeah, dude. That show is. Oh man.
What a great show. Yeah, I can't wait for it.
I finished watching that show. I just stood up and clapped, yo. I'm in my living room clapping because it was just like, it was that good, yo.
Nigga, as soon as they walked in that office and I saw the back of dude's head, I said, Slade?
Right. I was like, nigga, is that nigga.
Oh, man, dude. That was so good. And then, like how the ghost were giving him the fucking pep talks and shit. Mm-hmm. All of them had different motivations.
Yeah, when the ghost of Slade whooped his ass, and I was like, yo, he had one of those, Fight Club moments where he whooped his own ass.
Dude. I still don't get how people don't understand how crazy Oliver is. Like, he's insane, cause people keep being like, you know, I don't know if Steve Amell is really the best actor. He plays the dude aloof and crazy. And it's perfect. It's pitch perfect, dude.
Like, if you have any question about his acting, the minute he walks into Thea's room and sees Roy there sitting with the arrow in his leg, he's like, yo, what happened?
Yeah.
And then he calls Diggle and it's like, yeah, Roy's here in Thea's room. He's got an arrow in his leg. It's a long story.
He got shot. He was like, and you could tell the other side of the conversation was like, why did you take him to the hospital? With an arrow.
I just want to want to hear. I just want to hear Diggle's voice going, "What?"
I like that at some point this season, Diggle and Felicity got it through their heads to how crazy Oliver is and stopped asking shit. Because, dude, they came back and the room was fucked up. He was the only one there. It looked like he had gotten a fight. And Diggle just looked down at the glass like, okay, I don't even want to know. So, what are we doing?
Right, yo. So, yeah. So about the break in. Let's like they just be ignoring that shit and just like letting it go. Like even when Oliver started choking the fuck out of Barry, and it was just like, yeah, Felicity was just like, yeah, he kind of does that. He saves your life. I know. It just. You gotta kind of deal with it, yo. He's had a rough life. Yo.
Yeah, they basically like because he wakes up and was like, "Why'd you tell him my identity?" It's like, "Well, you were dying." And he's like, "I don't care. It's not your choice to make." They're like, "Okay, all right, then, Oliver. You're having one of your Oliver moments where cool." Because like that's what a
that fact, yo. I love that they haven't given away the fact that he is still adjusting to being human. Really,
yes.
If he had came back from the island and had been this well-adjusted person, I would still like the show, but something would be missing. I love the fact that he is still technically selfish, even after last season. He is still selfish. That the last two episodes of this season basically show that Oliver's just been tending to not be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And when shit hits the fan, he goes back to being selfish island Oliver, who just does whatever the fuck he wants to do because he thinks he's the best person to get it all done. He doesn't need any fucking help. That's how he's going to fucking do it. When he told Felicity, I make the choice. Like, I did the research on all you guys. I make the choice. But you were dying, Oliver. I don't care. I make the choice.
Yeah, like he was arguing with them to say, basically, why didn't you just let me die?
Right?
Like, how the fuck were we going to explain this? He didn't even, like, you got injected with this fucking venom serum. You got paint on your face. You're wearing the Arrow hoodie. What the fuck were we supposed to do? Let you die there on the street? Take you to the hospital? Nothing made sense right then.
Right, and Oliver's his face the entire time was just like, yeah.
Right, like, yeah, because I'm the boss, and I've been choking Barry. Never even thanked Barry.
Mm-mm, no, not once did he say thank you.
That shit felt so much like Bruce Wayne.
She goes, you should thank Barry. He looked at Barry and was like, so this is what we're going to do now.
He's looking like, why are you still here? Oh, man. I love Oliver, man. And I mean, in the way that you're supposed to, like, for being a crazy. He's like Bruce Wayne to me so much, man. Like,
oh, absolutely. I think what they did was they really combined a little bit of Oliver Queen and Bruce Wayne in this. Because this is the part of Bruce Wayne that Christopher Nolan didn't show us. Because he only had a couple hours to show us in a movie. But this technically is what Bruce Wayne is. This is why, you know, him, like, that's why I kind of like Arkham Origins, because you kind of get, Alfred going back and forth with Bruce Wayne when he hit Bruce with them Alfred bars about you're just a rich, a spoiled rich kid with too much privilege or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. It was like, wow. And I'm like, well, that actually makes sense because, you know, Bruce is just thinks he can do everything himself. Yep. And Alfred's there to tell him, no, you fuck, you can't.
Yep.
Help. You know,
and you get that moment in the game where he comes in and Alfred's like obviously been like beaten to with an inch of his fucking life. And you finally see him break down like, oh shit, this is like my parents dying all over again.
Right.
You know, and that like that's the shit that drives Bruce Wayne. And they take that out of so much stuff that to deal with Bruce Wayne. The idea that he's still kind of a kid who's overcompensating for his loss. They just take that out of so much Batman folklore. So you end up watching movies, playing video games where it's not really covered. And, Oliver is kind of like that too, where, you know, he has the same type of loss and stuff in his background, but because you are only with him for an hour a week. And you can do it slowly. We get to experience it sometimes. And that's what makes the show good.
Right. Like, he went, like, when you see the choice he had to make, and I was like, Ivo didn't have to really, he didn't really make a choice. He kind of just jumped in front of whoever was about to get the bullet first. And I was like, and he shot, oh, man, that's a.
Yeah.
And then you kind of see, it's not just that Oliver's being an asshole. You see why he's being an asshole. You see why he doesn't get connected. You see why he told Felicity that one episode, I don't want you getting close to me and getting hurt. Like, you mm-hmm. see that while you're like, well, it makes fucking sense.
And you know, on that island, when Slade finds out how exactly she died, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem, bro.
That nigga Slade went Super Saiyan when he woke up, yo.
Son! He threw a nigga into a tree from like 50 feet away.
Took it, punched a hole in his head.
He pushed through a dude. The dude looked down like, why is your arm in my chest?
Why is your arm in my chest?
Yo, Professor Ivo saw Slade and was just like, oh no, I don't get paid for this shit. And he out, yo.
He figured that shit out immediately, dude. As soon as he woke up and his face was healed. I was like, dude, everybody better run.
Oh God, no.
And he's still alive? Man, he gonna fuck Oliver up, dog. That's the other thing good about this show is Oliver doesn't quote unquote win every fight. Mm-mm. So, it's a good chance we're going to watch Slade fuck Oliver up for like 9 of the next 10 episodes.
Yeah.
It's a good chance. Cause remember how Merlin was whooping his ass?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Merlin, I mean, technically, he still didn't defeat Merlin.
Yeah. He still ain't beat Merlin.
Yeah, he beat Merlin by stabbing himself, yo.
Merlin's still alive, too. Oh, man, dude. I don't know how anybody can hate this show. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't get it either, man.
But yeah, that's what I've been watching, too, man. So let's talk about what we've been playing, because I feel like there's a lot we've been playing. I try to keep it brief, because I do want to hit some new shit. But I've been playing Madden on the Xbox One. Best Madden I've played in probably 10, 15 years.
First Madden you've played in about 10 to 15 years.
First Madden I played probably in like 4 or 5 years, okay. But it's definitely the best. That the foot thing they do is cool. Although still not better than, how I believe NFL 2K would be if it was on the system. So, you know, it's not really thinking man's football like NFL 2K was, but, it's fun. Very fun. Looks great. All that shit. NBA 2K, been playing that. Love the fucking coaching interviews at halftime. Love the highlights and the way they cut it down. And announcing is so cool. That's dope. What was it?
Not liking people rage quitting on you, though.
Nigga, I can't play online with anybody that's not my friend anymore. Cause
what's happening?
I play with the Bobcats online. The Bobcats. Okay? Other people pick good teams. That like, you know, that
like
are
the Lakers
going to the playoffs.
The Heat.
Not the Lakers. I'm talking about the fucking Rockets, the Thunder. They pick teams that are
Portland.
Yeah, way better than my team. And anytime I'm up in like a minute to go, they quit every fucking time. I haven't looked at my record, but unless quits come to my wins, I'm pretty sure I'm 0-1. Because I've lost one game and I stayed to the end, and the 3 games I was up, people quit. So, you know, I stopped playing online.
Don't they default? Don't it default?
I don't know. I gotta go check because it doesn't,
because that should automatically, if you quit like that, you should automatically lose and the game should go to the other person.
Yeah, that shit is terrible. So, but NBA 2K is a great game, but those people are assholes. And I haven't run into the cursing thing because, I don't curse when I play a game that gives me text. So it seems like, I don't know why people keep saying, like, I keep getting texts. I'm like, you must want to,
right?
Because it's easy not to curse,
right? How about you just not curse?
Yeah, don't curse. I've cursed before around it when the game was on, but not because of something that happened, and it didn't pick up. It didn't pick me up because I guess I like, y'all motherfuckers must really be like, man, fuck that shit, like, y'all, it can't. Yeah, which is awesome that Kinect can recognize curse words, and you know, that's sweet.
That actually means somebody actually put curse words in that joint and was like,
yeah, they did.
Which now I want to actually get it just so I can see what curse words made it and which ones didn't.
Yeah, nigga, they'd be like, that's fine. But it looks just skin tone and shit. But
hey yo,
you're like, darker. You're good. You're darker now.
That joint would be so fucking awesome. Yeah, it's like, oh, you black. Oh, you good.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, what's up with my nigga? Oh no, Tech, you're out of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, your boy says it next to you. Oh, that would be a good, like, Key and Peele skit.
Yeah. That would be hilarious, dog.
Oh, but yeah, so that game's dope. I've been playing Forza. Apparently, I'm really good at Forza because Evo plays Forza all the time, and he just now beat my Drivatar, and I only played Forza for like 3 days. That being said, I'm not a big fan of Forza, man. Like, I get that they're going for photorealism and it does look great, but it's something about the style of racing that just doesn't do it for me, man. Like, I think I like arcade racer better. I like hitting the handbrake on the curve,
yeah,
and skidding out and drifting and shit, even though if you did that shit in a real car you would die.
Yeah.
It's true. I had it because it came with my bundle. It's gonna get traded in. Yeah. Like I'm gonna trade it in for another game. Because I just, one, I don't do racing games, and two, it's just kind of, to be honest, it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
It's not fun. Like you said, you're going around the corner. You're like, let me hit this handbrake. Oh.
It's real as shit. It's like, I mean, to the game's credit, it is the most real racing game I've ever played.
Oh yeah.
But it's also the most real racing game I ever played. I be driving my car nervous, like, oh shit, that nigga getting close to my side. Hold up now. I'll catch him in the straightaway. I'm not gonna pass him.
You scared you'll get a ticket or some shit?
Well, it's not just that. You don't race in the street, you race on tracks, but it's like, if you're driving, like, and someone, like, hits your car, like, it damages your shit. Mm-hmm. And you had, like, and I'll rewind it. I'll be like, nope, I need to get through that turn clean. I'll, like, keep rewinding till I do it again. And I'm just like, yeah, man, you know, this isn't why I got it. Like, when right. I play Need for Speed in a Porsche, I don't give a fuck about that Porsche. Like, I'm trying to drive that shit through walls and all, like, stunts. I don't give a fuck. When I play with a Porsche in Forza, I treat it like it's my Porsche.
did you pay a monthly payment? So?
Yeah, I'll be looking at my car after the race like, man, shit, why did I take that turn so wide?
Yo, cause it's not like street racing in like, Fast and the Furious. Right. It's like real racing where it's like really posh and really, like, even the announcer is like very like upscale and very sophisticated. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just like, yeah, man.
Yeah. And like, if you take out the drive assist, you really have to be thinking. Like, you can't just be like, I'm gonna just hold down the trigger and go as fast as I can. You need to be thinking like, all right, I got to be doing about 30 when I hit this curve. So I can do 115, but I need to start decelerating right around here. Cause if not, I'm going to take the turn wide. I'm not going to be able to get past. I'm going to fall into the grass. I'm going to lose my traction. Like, it's a lot of thinking. That shit is like math, dog. And
it's just work, yo.
It's work.
It's more work to drive a car in Forza than to drive my normal car, dog.
It really is. It stresses me out, man. So I haven't played it. Like, I got to the harder levels. I was like, yeah, dog, y'all got this.
Yeah, I'm gonna trade mine in for that Marvel Lego game. Yo, I heard that's really good and fun.
Okay, so
I'm gonna get that.
Yeah, because I will fucking I'll be in a Forza race and be happy with finishing fourth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how serious this game is. I'm like, you know what? Not a bad day. Any other game, I'll be like, I ain't coming first. Restart, do it again. This shit, I'll be like, you know what? I'm still finishing in the money. Maybe I can afford a new car. But that's it. But there's another. Oh, Call of Duty Ghost, man. I gotta say, man, I did not think I would ever buy a Call of Duty game this year. But because I had an Xbox One, I was like, I would like to have a Call of Duty game on this console. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. I enjoy it a lot. The clan shit is different. The upgrade system is cool. You can play as a woman or a dude. Different skin colors. Like, they kind of let you pick what color, what your character is going to look like and shit. It's just fun, you know? The community part is hit or miss because sometimes you play with assholes, sometimes you don't. Seems like they're still working that out, with the whole, like, you know, do you want to play with this type of player thing? But it's been fun, man. I've joined a couple clans and shit, so didn't see that coming, you know?
How's the single player?
Single player, I don't play single player on Call of Duty games. I only play multiplayer, I might give it a shot at some point this Christmas, but I prefer multiplayer, man. I like, you know, just running around, play kill confirmed. Some of the new play modes are real dope too. Like, they got that one play mode where you gotta kill somebody every 30 seconds or you'll explode.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that shit's crazy. Like
every 30 seconds.
Every 30 seconds or you die. Motherfuckers be just, man, motherfuckers be running up in there like the fucking gladiator, like the arena, dude. But yeah, it's a fun game, man. So I think that's about it, man. So I need to play the arcade games because I got Power Star and I got Killer Instinct and I haven't sat down and played those yet. But Chris, man, I've been seeing you tweet specifically about Assassin's Creed 4, and this may be the game I trade Forza in for.
Yeah, so everybody knows after Assassin's Creed 3, everybody was kind of like, man, I don't know what Ubisoft is doing. It's like they had some good things they tried to do with Assassin's Creed 3, but the story was kind of weak, and they tried to do too much. And so when it came out the next year and we're like, oh, Black Flag, we were all just like, yeah, whatever. Like, we were all hyped for Assassin's Creed 3. When we said Connor and it was like a Native American and the Revolutionary War, we were hyped. When they said a pirate and doing Black Flag, we were just like, nah, man. The ship battles and ship, the naval stuff in Assassin's Creed 3 kind of wasn't very fun and it just didn't make sense. And we were just like, why are they doing this? Why are they making Assassin's Creed like Madden and doing one every year, right? Mm-hmm. So again, because I got the Xbox One, and I was always gonna get this game because I like the Assassin's Creed games. Even though I didn't like the last one, I like having them there to play them because they do have some kind of entertainment value. But when I got the Xbox One, I was like, well, I do need some kind of game, so let me try. And I've heard really good things about it. Let me get this one, and it'll be my one digital download game. Started playing it, nigga. This game is, and I'm gonna might piss some people off because some people hold Assassin's Creed 2 as the best. This is the best Assassin's Creed game I've ever played in my life.
Mm.
A right? lot of people have been saying
that's high praise, really, man. Actually, because I like the first two.
Yeah, I didn't play the first one, and here's why: because it's different. They went out, and I feel like Assassin's Creed 3 was their beta, where they tried a lot of different things, a lot of different modes, and maybe even the engine is the same. And then they put it in Assassin's Creed 4 and they made it all work. The naval stuff is fun as fuck. Because, and the story is fun too because, and I had a little argument with a person, not even an argument, a little, we were discussing it, and I was telling her, like, I find this character more compelling than the other Assassin's Creed characters because he is not a noble guy. Edward Kenway, the guy you play as, is just a pirate. He's really not an assassin. He acts at the beginning of the game, I'm not gonna give too much away, but beginning of the game, he wears the Assassin's Creed, he wears the Assassin colors because he took it off of a traitorous assassin. He's really just a pirate first. His whole motivation throughout most, 90% of this game is just to make money as a pirate. And you deal with this throughout the game and, you know, you start actually kind of feeling for him. You're like, well, he actually makes kind of sense, you know? Whereas the other Assassin's Creed games, I was kind of getting tired of every one of them having some sad story as to why they became an assassin, and then they just go off to do assassin things, and oh, by the way, I'm really here for revenge, but I have to do these Assassin's Creed missions first, and, you know, it just kind of was like, okay, you're saying formula over and over again. And this game is just different.
Are you still, like, the guy in what do you call it? You know, the guy who has to go into the machine that makes him see his ancestors? Are you still doing that shit, too?
No, so the modern day stuff is also different from what they've done before. A lot of people saying that this might be the tie to Watch Dogs. Now, I've never been like so amped about Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
I started reading up on it, I see what they're saying, and maybe that's true, but it's different. So the modern day stuff, first of all, is smaller scale than you've done before. And it's actually very compelling because the way they have it is you're just some new guy that's working for Abstergo, you know, the Templars company. Mm-hmm. You're working for them, and the way they set it up is Abstergo is basically sounding like they're Ubisoft. Because they're basically making an Assassin's Creed game, and you're going into the memories to get footage for them to make like the game trailer and things like that. I mean, it's really kind of cool how they do it. And then you're going through, and there's a little story there too, and it adds some stuff in there, but it's actually very compelling, and it's different from it. Like, it's actually first person. So it's different from you running around trying to solve puzzles like you used to do with Desmond and before. So it's just different from anything you've done before. And they have little hacking puzzles that are kind of cool and nice little puzzles and things like that. But that's it. And and you go right back into playing the Assassin's Creed game. Also, the Edward Kenway storyline, I feel like it actually has some closure to it. It actually feels like a good, it's very emotional. Things happen to him and you're like, damn, man, that's kind of fucked up, man. It's really good. Like, I don't want to give too much away about the storyline, because to me, it's like he goes from being a pirate, and even at the end of the game, you're like, he's changed and come forward, but he had to lose so much to get there. And it's just really compelling. Like, I love the fact that if you come to this game thinking you're just going to play as an assassin like the other games, that's not what you're going to get here. It's completely different. I mean, it's really cool. And like I said, the naval stuff is cool too. So you're a pirate. So what do? You have to, you know, you plunder ships and you can take on these different ships and, you can stop royal convoys and the hunting, and you can do a harpooning and hunt whales and sharks and stuff like that. And unlike the last Assassin's Creed game, when you were doing that stuff and you kind of just did it just to do it, doing it in this game has purpose. Like, if you want to, say, buy a new holster for your character, you need to get, like, 3 Black Jaguar pelts. So you have to go and hunt 3 Black Jaguars. Mm-hmm. So in order to do upgrades for your character, you have to hunt. If you want to upgrade the ship you have, you have to, like, harpoon. You have to...
Kind of like Far Cry.
Yeah. You have to do stuff like that. And it's fun. Yeah, you're actually right. It's just like Far Cry. And it's actually fun to do. They have this community thing where if I'm playing the game and you're playing the game and I come across one of these community convoys, you'll see it on your map too, and you'll have like 4 hours to go and stop that convoy and get the money that's for it. They have treasure maps. I mean, it's just like the side missions are really cool. Even remember how like in all of these the Assassin's Creed games, you have like the Assassin Bureau missions where you have to do something for the Assassin Bureau. They have those kind of missions, and this is where I really started liking Kinway. One of the missions you're doing is a Templar hunt, and you're helping this one assassin, and it turns out that the Templar you just killed, she apparently had a relationship with him. So she's having this touching moment with him, like, why'd you do this? We could have been together, blah, blah, blah. So Kinway, because he's just an asshole and he's a pirate, goes, hey, listen, yeah, I know there's a touching moment and all that, but I'm just here to get that key. Like, there'll be people talking, like, you know how, like, after you kill, like, a Templar, they have, like, that touching moment, and they're, like, he prays over him, and, you know, they have, like, I'm trying to do the, we're both on the same side here, just, Kenway just like, hey, listen, man, I'm just here for some coin, yo.
I'm a pirate.
I'm just doing this to get some money, yo. It's, like, it's so cool, because he just, like, most of the game, he just does not care about anything bigger than himself, and, like, his first mate is always telling him, it's like, dude, come on, the black guy, he's like, yo, dude, man, it's like, you can't just be about yourself, man. Haven't you wanted to do something bigger than this? It's just like, it's really compelling, and you actually feel, and you see him grow as a character throughout the game. I mean, I really enjoyed it,
2013, actually probably since 2011, video games have really replaced movies I find the most compelling narratives, because,
and the best storylines.
Yeah, in addition to you playing through it, they've taken so much from movies. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these studios will completely revamp a character or video game type. And it sounds like that's what they did with Assassin's Creed 4, where they just were like, look, people have done the assassin thing to death. They're tired of the fucking the cutscenes after you kill a dude. Let's give them a story. Let's give a guy who isn't like completely there yet. Let's give him a guy who, who needs to grow into this role. And then if you're gonna make a game a year, that's a story I don't mind learning about. Same thing happened with Tomb Raider. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened with the last Halo. Like, you know, they're taking these stories and they're being like, let's give him a guy who's not, you know, just video game player one. You log into this character and he's already a badass and knows everything and is the best ever. Let's give him a guy who needs some work.
Kinway is not a hero, and he does things in the game that actually have consequences and fucks. Like, towards the end of the game, he comes back. He's like, yo, what happened here? He's like, yo, we're still cleaning up the mess you made 6 years ago. And you're like, damn, yo, that's kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I did do that.
He's like, and he's like, yeah, well, you know, it's like, it's shit like that. Like, and then there's this cool thing they did with the game. Like, you know how you, when you, play an Assassin's Creed and, you kill somebody and they would, you have to go around and you have to bribe, like, somebody, you have to take down your wanted poster and stuff like that. They basically got rid of that shit. Cause if you think it didn't make any sense. So they got rid of it. So now all you have to do is you just have to hide. If you hide long enough, you'll become anonymous again. But now they have a warning system for, like, for pirates. So when you're on your ship and you're, like, plundering a whole bunch of ships, you'll start getting a higher wanted level on the ship, and they'll send after 100 ships after you that you need to stop and stuff like that. It's really cool there. You can also then, to see more of the map, you can take down forts. Nigga, when I tell you taking down a fort is fun, and because they also randomly trigger storms. One of the things I did a couple days ago, I took down a fort, like one of the harder forts, in the middle of a storm. Nigga. Oh, talk about, like, just, like, heart racing. Like, you have to control the ship, then you have to watch out for rogue waves. It's just so much going on. So then once you take the ship, take the fort down from the outside, then you have to go into the fort and then take out, like, the commanders and the officers. I mean, it's just so much you have to do in this game, and it's all adds to this. It's just fun, man. It's really fun fucking game. Wow.
I think you've sold the game to me.
Oh yeah.
I'm turning in fours already. You know, I got these discount cards. I think I'm gonna go ahead and make that move, man.
Shit, you go to Best Buy, no telling what you get.
Yeah, so get that, and then I've been doing that, and because it's in my disk drive, Battlefield 4, yo. Nigga, yeah. That's the reason I haven't gotten Call of Duty yet, because I'm getting PTSD from playing Battlefield 4.
So they fixed all the glitches and shit, because they were having like a big thing about that and they're getting sued or something.
Yeah, so the glitches are still there. They're working on it. But the thing with Battlefield is, with 64 players, the game is so much fun that even sometimes with some of the glitches, I don't even give a shit. Like, I have never been so happy to be like 1 in 17 in a game and had so much fun. Like, when you're 1 in 17 in a Call of Duty game, you're just like, man, fuck this shit. You just want to turn it off. You 1 in 17 in a Battlefield game, you might still have a decent score, and you don't give a shit. Like, it's just fun. And it's fucking mayhem with 64 players. So, I know they put out a new patch, and things are getting better. I think as it gets better, more people will probably get onto it. But like I said, right now, I'm enjoying it, even with the occasional glitch here and there. I've been okay with it. I've been having loads of fucking fun with it.
What about Rise? You get that? You got that too, right?
No, I didn't get Rise, so I got Dead Rising 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what it was. How's that?
And Dead Rising 3 is fun, but you know, you mentioned it before. I mentioned it since I got it. Got the same fucking issue that all the Dead Rising games have. The fucking autosave is non-existent. So you'll be playing that game for an hour, then you die, and then you realize that the game hasn't saved your progress for an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with a game like that, why wouldn't you have autosave?
Also, I have shit to do, Capcom, or whoever the fuck makes that game. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I need to leave a house.
Mm-hmm.
Why the fuck can't I just save?
Right. So, it's a fun, good game, but I think you said it last time you were playing like Dead Rising 2, it frustrates you because you're like, I made all this progress. Like, it's so bad that you'll actually accept a mission from, like, a side mission from somebody else. And you're like, well, obviously it had to save when I met this person and did a side mission. Nope. It doesn't even save on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, are you fucking, I got to start from the beginning? Oh, fuck this.
I think I did about two of those, die and go back to some shit that I don't even remember. It was so long ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's the end of this. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's not smart developing.
No,
we have the technology. Other games have been able to do this better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand, because everything else about these games is technically proficient, and if not proficient, light years ahead of other people with some of the designs of the zombies, the way that they do the hordes, the way that they have so many different types of weapons and upgrading and customizing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the number of zombies are on the screen, fucking insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an insanely gorgeous film. Like, I know people were complaining about, well, it does not 30 frames per second. I don't give a shit about any of that shit. The game was good enough to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine, but that's the one thing that they have that it does. It's just annoying that if you keep having to deal with that shit, yeah, when something better comes out, I'm just gonna trade it in.
Yeah.
And it sucks that it's actually, outside of that, it's a fun, good game. But yep. It's annoying, and I hate having a game like that where you have fun, and you're having fun, and you just want to, because that's, especially that kind of open world game where you're just smashing zombies, there's a lot of times when all you're doing is just doing dumb shit. So you'll end up doing dumb shit, and then you realize, oh, fuck, I didn't save.
Right?
Damn. Fuck, well.
Yeah, it's 2000 fucking, almost about to be 2014, dog.
Yeah. So, and last thing, well, two things. Tomorrow I'm gonna play The Walking Dead season 2.
Oh yeah, started it this morning. That was my what you've been playing.
Yeah, Clem back. I'm gonna start playing that tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get a playing Dead End soon. When we all finish that. And I just want to say that people who complain about, you know, the frames per second and the visuals on like games like Battlefield 4 and things like that, like they, maybe the PS4 looks better. I can't tell. And the reason why that is because I'm too busy dodging bullets. Like, there's a map Locker on, like, there's no vehicles. Operation Locker, it's like you're in, like this underground, like, jail cell. And when you have 64 players on a map, when I tell you, like, there's a middle area. When I tell you people just stand on either side, like, firing grenades and rocket launchers, and you're like, it's really like you're like at one point to get past there. Me and my squad, we crawled on our bellies around the joint as bullets are flying over our head, and I'm like, yeah, I don't see the difference in frame per second right now. I don't see the difference.
What I see the difference is staying alive.
Right. I can't really talk about that shit right now because they just brought a building down on top of us. Like I was playing with, I think it was Wound God and Ty and I one of my boys. And we were playing something, and me and Ty were in a building, and they brought the building down on top of us or some shit like that, dog. Dude, it's like, that's why, like, Battlefield, like, once I get the glitches down, I see why they have glitches. But when you have a game you can do so much in, mm-hmm. like, you literally can do whatever you want to do. Like, if you just want to sit on the outside of the map and just spot vehicles, because you can, like, if you're a sniper, You can get this one thing where you can laser sight vehicles for other people to destroy the vehicles. You'll get points for that. And so you can spend an entire map and all you can do is just sit there and laser sight vehicles for other people to take out. It's like, it's badass, man. So.
Yeah, and I'll just say, because I pretty much watch all the same shit, except I watched The Hobbit, Desolation of Smog, reviews up on Spoiler Movie Reviews. If, you know, for people that want to check that out, but you know, overall I liked it more than the first one. Still not as good as the Lord of the Ring movies, and worst dragon ever.
that's not a good sign.
Worst dragon since Puff. That nigga was talking his ass off.
Not Puff, and the Mad Dragon.
I was like, if you don't eat some of these motherfuckers right now and stop talking, like, it was crazy.
He forgot he was a dragon, yo.
Dog, it felt like he forgot he was a dragon. I was sitting over here like, nigga, you a dragon. Like, what's all the, I don't even get what the fucking, if I was a dragon, there would be no discussions. I'm a dragon. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking at it wrong because I didn't read the book, so I don't know the whole background on the rat dragon.
The reason why I allowed it is because it was Benedict Cumberbatch was the voice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the voice is epic.
Yeah, that's the only reason why I allowed him to keep talking, yo.
Nigga, I didn't even know he was supposed to talk. Because they don't set that up in the other movies that dragons can talk. Mm-hmm. So, dude wakes up the dragon, I'm like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. These niggas about to die. Because I'm like, why else do you have 17 hobbits if they're not about to die? You know, obviously, some of these motherfuckers got to die. Cool. And that motherfucker woke up and was like, who do I spot? I was like, wait a minute, this nigga talking? They about to have a conversation? Like, eat this nigga, man.
I will say that once he gets mad at the end and said, and the last thing he says is like, I am death. I was like, oh yeah, I really need Benedict Cumberbatch to be a Sith in
son.
Yo, because if he can be a Sith Lord in Star Wars, oh, I'm sold, dog.
Benedict Cumberbatch need to do all the evil.
Right.
Like, if you got an evil ass role, man, consider that dude for the role, man, because he brings gravitas to some evilness that is unmatched. And I can't wait. Like, I will say this. I did leave this movie going, well, I can't wait for the third one because I feel like the third one's going to be the only one you needed to see. Mm-hmm. Cause they just do too much. You can tell that the Lord of the Ring movies were based on three long ass books, and you can tell that this is based on one short book. And that's kind of the, I think even people that probably read the books will be like, yeah, that this shit ain't in there. So
yeah, what it is I feel like they're trying to actually, and I don't mind it that much. They're trying to really build that connection between the Lord of the Rings and this. And so there's stuff mm-hmm. in the Hobbit that they don't expand on. And so they're trying to do that in the movies to make more sense. Cause I haven't read The Hobbit in a while, but I think if I went back and read it, I would be like, why does Gandalf just leave and like that? And that's stuff like that, where you're just like, things just, it's like that whole thing that happens with fantasy books where people just leave and then they come back miraculously and you're like, they never really explain it. And so I think when you do it in a movie wise, you try to have to explain it a little bit.
It's almost like they are like, here, nerds, we know that, yeah, or just, you know, moviegoer person, we know that you will be pissed if he just shows back up. But I feel like for my purposes, I would be okay with it.
Right.
I can't speak for everybody, but I probably would have preferred the book version of just, cause, you know, Gandalf is a weird ass wizard anyway. And it feels like his whole role in this series is to tell them where to go and leave.
He followed the Hobbit, yo.
Dude, that's pretty much, it's pretty much the only thing he does in all the movies. Even the Lord of the Rings ones, it's like, he has the one, you shall not pass. But then he basically ends up dying, so he leaves them again in a way. Like everything he does is like some awesome that they need, and then he's like, "All right, man, y'all niggas be straight." I'm out. They're like, "Hold up, Gandalf, man, this shit look dangerous. Like this look more dangerous than the shit we just did." Yeah, I gotta go, man.
Like in Twin Towers when he goes to like they're going to the Battle of Helm's Deep. He's like, "Yeah, I'll be back. I'm gonna go. I'll be back with reinforcements."
Right.
Look for me on the third day. Like if I'm Aragorn and them, I'm like, third day, nigga, we might not last 3 days.
We might not make it.
Yeah, he's like the best basketball player at the basketball court that has to go home by streetlights.
Right.
Like, hey man, we about to go to this other neighborhood and play these kids. That's cool, as long as I can be home by streetlights.
In the Lord of the Rings, when they have the eagles, you're like, why didn't you lead with that,
dude?
Eagles, dog? You have giant ass eagles. Like if I'm
you ain't
Frodo,
tell
I'm
nobody?
Like, dude, I walked this entire way. Why didn't we fucking fly the fucking eagles?
I walked this entire way,
dude. At the end of The Hobbit, when the nigga just like whispers to a butterfly that comes back later with reinforcements, like, why don't you start with that? Like 20 minutes before the fight even goes off, you just be like, all right, man, his powers don't make sense, dude. His powers are like, I can summon a griffin or I can just turn my stick into a light. Which one? It's like, nigga, you don't have no in-between powers. Like,
they needed to make it better. What they need to do is have him rolling dice.
Yeah.
Like when he rolls a one, he can only use his light. But when he rolls like a six, that's when he can use like, you know, summon griffin.
That
like,
would
that's
make
what he need to do. That's the only way to explain this shit, man.
That'll make so much more sense, dog. He'd be like, oh, fuck, man, I rolled a nine.
That's the thing that I kind of with the Lord of the Rings and with the Hobbit, you kind of have to. It's the whole thing of like when I tell people all the time that like, you might not like sci-fi. With this, it's fantasy. And with fantasy, they have a lot of these things that just don't make sense. Where you're like, dude, why don't you just lead with that? Like, with me, I'm like, why don't you just lead everything with Legolas, you know?
I was just about to say, the reason that the movie's way, like, you know, I know it's probably pissed Hobbit fans off or whatever. First Hobbit movie to me is like maybe a 3 out of 10. Mm-hmm. This shit jumped up by like 4 points on the strength of Legolas and the elves, because when the elves are in, I mean, the elves, right? When the elves are in the battle, in any of the movies, you completely forgive every flaw in the movie. It doesn't even matter what was going on up until then. Dude just goes on like a fucking 25 death streak, kill streak, gets a nuke and destroys all the orcs, and you're just like, I forgive anything that happened before this.
I tell people all the time, Fellowship of the Rings is not really memorable. The only reason why I remember Fellowship of the Rings is because that's when I was introduced to Legolas, and that's when he does that one move where he sh- He takes the arrow out of his quiver. He stabs the eye, pulls it out of his eye, puts it into his bow, shoots another motherfucker, and then keeps on going. I was like, nigga.
Dude. That, like,
we need this guy.
This dude is so bad, man. Like, there's entire scenes where, he is flawlessly killing 4 and 5 dudes in a row. And it's just a sweeping quick cut to something else. Like, it's not even focusing on him. Like, look at this. Mm-hmm. It's almost like he's in the background, just like killing 20 orcs.
Yeah, having a normal conversation.
Yeah. He's like, watch out, Tariel, watch your back. Wap, 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 kill, kill, kill. then they just show like the hobbits struggling to live and shit, the dwarf.
Not struggling.
Like, oh, they coming at us. I got shot in the leg. Oh, my eye. Then they just cut back to Legolas killing 6 things. Like, it's so good.
The look in his eye when he sees his own blood for the first time, I think, in any fucking hobbit movie.
Woo!
I feel sorry for that motherfucker.
Orlando Bloom clearly watched the Bruce Lee movie where he went to the island. Because Enter the Dragon. He clearly watched that scene over and over and over. Cause his eyes in that scene, like, he looked at his own blood like, the fuck is this? what is this coming out of my face? That does not happen to me.
That does not belong there.
It was so jarring in the movie. I was like, why is he looking like that? It took like 30 seconds for me to be like, he's never seen his own blood.
Right. And I was like, y'all, I don't think I've ever seen it either, yo.
Yeah, he didn't give a fuck about no mission either. He was like, man, fuck this mission. This dude dies.
I tell people all the time, that's actually, I mean, Troy's not a good movie, but that's the main reason why Troy sucked. Because he went from being a badass elf to being that little bitch in that movie. And you're just like, I'm sorry, I can't believe this shit. Like,
yep.
Orlando Bloom can no longer do movies where he plays somebody who's not a badass because it's like, it just doesn't make any fucking sense, yo.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit was terrible. Yeah. I tried to watch that movie and I was like,
no.
I'm like, wait, he gonna be a bitch the whole movie? Like, I kept expecting it to be like 20 minutes in, his mom dies and then he's like, oh, I'm a train.
He crawls back to his brother Hector, yo. I was just like, no, man.
Yeah, turn this shit off.
I was like, all this shit I'm seeing, this isn't believable, man.
Yeah, I don't need to see this shit anymore.
Believable.
Like, I'm gonna put Pirates of the Caribbean back in. Fuck this. All right, so we got stories. I'm gonna run through the faster ones. Assassin's Creed 4 and other games are gonna be heavily discounted on the Ubisoft store, but I think it's mostly for PC. And you gotta have like, it's gotta be like certain times, certain days and shit, but I think Xbox is doing the same thing with like 12 days of Xbox or some shit to the end of the year. So, you go Xbox Live. Anna Paquin, aka Rogue, got cut from X-Men Days of Future Past. They said the characters only seemed extraneous, so they cut it. There's two parts to this. One, it's kind of my problem with Fox. Why the fuck was she in the trailer? You know what I mean? Like,
wasn't she?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it tells me that you guys weren't really, you really weren't done with the movie. You hadn't thought it all the way through.
Before you chopped the trailers up.
Right. Cause you put a trailer out and she's in it. All right. I'm not mad, but it's just kind of another telltale sign. The good part of this is I remember them cutting shit out of Spider-Man and it made Spider-Man better.
Right.
So maybe they cut it out and it makes the movie better. We don't need long ass movies. Like, it doesn't have to be, if it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't need to be long, then yeah, cut her out. If she didn't have any impact other than saying, look, another person from the old movies that we have in this movie, then please, by all means, take her the fuck out.
And that's what it seemed like. It seemed like they said that, like, she was only in one scene. And I was just like, what? Oh, okay. Like, I tell people all the time, somebody asked me about another, some like video they saw that they put out for this movie. And I was like, listen, I just have no faith in Bryan Singer. Maybe he'll surprise me.
Yeah.
But I just can't stand anything he's doing right now. Cause it's like, he's so focused on trying to promote X-Men Apocalypse and that movie doesn't come out until 2016. He's got a movie that comes out next year. Like, he's tweeting, teasers to X-Men Apocalypse. I'm like, whatever, man. Like, we'll see what happens with Days of Future Past, and then we'll talk about me getting excited for anything like that. I have no expectations for this film.
Me too.
I hope it's good. You know, they have a good cast as far as Fassbender and McAvoy. We'll see what happens. I just Fox hurts you, man.
Yep. Pac-1 says she understood, and everything's cool. So there's no drama about it, but just funny, you know. Yeah, it's just funny, man. And I don't have any faith in Singer. But Paul Rudd got confirmed as Ant-Man, which has made me very, very skeptical in the wake of some of these rumors, because I'm kind of dismissive of a lot of rumors as well. And I don't troll for rumors. Like, you know, I don't go try to look for it. So I probably see a higher quality of rumor than most people that like really go look for this shit. I just kind of see what crosses my desk and what gets leaked and what the studios confirm and shit like that. But, the Paul Rudd shit, like I remember people saying this months and months ago, and I kind of wrote it off like, maybe it's like that shit that people do where it's like, yo, if you had all the G.I. Joes, who would play what? Yo, I would have so-and-so be Duke, and I would have, you know, and then someone else sees it and they're like, oh, yo, did you know, thinking about so-and-so playing Duke? And it's like, well, that's really from some nerd's blog. But this one being confirmed, it's like too much of a coincidence. And I have a new conspiracy theory that, I believe studios use the blogs and shit to kind of and by blogs, I don't actually mean blogs.
Yeah,
I actually mean like some of these reputable sites.
Yeah, to kind of,
I think they leak shit to them to test the audience.
That's right.
And test response. Like that's my new thing. And the thing is, it's really smart. Like it's diabolical, but it's fucking smart as hell rather than just being like, cause they, you know, they've had some really bad experiences in the past where they've been like, oh, guys, guess who's going to play so-and-so? And everybody goes, the fuck?
Right.
You know, I don't want to see this shit, blah, blah, blah. As opposed to like now the new thing is you announce three or four dudes through, say, IGN. And people either go like, well, I can kind of see Joseph Gordon-Levitt playing a character. You know, I definitely don't want to see Brad Pitt play the character or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, I feel like it's a little odd that the dudes that people get excited about keep landing the roles, you know? And I don't think it's a negative thing. But I do think that, it's calculated, man. And, not every last rumor, but, I'm feeling like a lot of these are kind of calculated. I remember the same thing happened with dude from Kick-Ass who's going to play Quicksilver.
See, I agree with you on that one, but with these Marvel Studio ones, what I believe is happening is, it's not that they're leaking them to test studio audiences. I believe that they meet with them, they say, this is going to happen, and a lot of times they're negotiating. And so when you're negotiating, it gets out. And I don't think that they really care if, like I said, let's say the Paul Rudd reaction was like, I don't want Paul Rudd. I still think Paul Rudd would have been it. I don't think that they would have changed it based on that. Because what Marvel is, and usually when the news comes out about Marvel stuff, it's not confirmed right away, but it's usually one of those, oh, that shit's happening. Like, that's it. Like, Elizabeth Olsen, everybody kind of knew she was going to be Scarlet Witch. Everybody knew that Aaron Taylor Johnson was going to be Quicksilver. It's like, they went into negotiations. They met with, it came out positive. Those two were basically on Godzilla, and they were basically negotiating how they would work out the media with them promoting, shooting for Avengers while, doing promotion for Godzilla. So it was pretty much a done deal, but they couldn't confirm it. So it was one of those type of deals. So I think with that kind of stuff, it's not really that they're leaking it. It's more of a, like, nigga, we doing this.
Well, here's why I don't believe that. Because Gal Gadot came out of nowhere. And like, I didn't even hear her as like on the list of people that might get it. She had to have taken some kind of meme. They had to have reached out to somebody. I think DC was just like, we're not leaking our shit until we can confirm shit. So when we leak Ben Affleck, he'll be confirmed. By the time we leak Ben Affleck, it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time, you know, because shit happens like a week later, as opposed to like, you know, 6 months later. I mean, Chris brought up a great point on Twitter, and I don't want to forget this, because this could also be true. It could be the actors. Cause yeah. It actually helps you as an actor to be like, yeah, I met with Marvel and I might play Ant-Man.
Yeah. Like, so. Vin Diesel did that shit.
Yeah.
Like, he was heavy in that shit. Like, it wasn't Marvel. Marvel was just like, no comment. Vin Diesel was like, yeah, meeting with Marvel, posting pictures of himself meeting with Marvel.
Yeah.
Can I talk to Fiona about this when,
like, you don't turn them damn cameras off.
Right. When Sony did the, announcement about doing a Sinister Six movie. They were, he was like, well, man, I really wish they would stop trying to do all this, the getting people hyped for this. I was like, well, with that, everybody kind of knew it was going to happen because, well, Jamie Foxx was doing promotion and basically saying, yeah, man, we're looking at doing Sinister Six. And you're just like, Jamie, should you be saying that?
Dog, you know, they was like, come on, dog.
Yeah. And yeah. And so it's like, it's a little bit of both. And I do understand it's a balancing act. Like, I don't mind, like, some of the leaks about, like this, when you're leaking a name that you know you're pretty much gonna go with, and like, let's say something happens in negotiation and it falls through and doesn't work. I'm fine with that. What I don't like is when, like, what Bryan Singer does.
Right.
Or even like what Mark Webb did, was he was just like, you're a director and you're tweeting out these teaser images.
Right.
From the set of your movie. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, no. Cause I'm only bringing up casting cause I feel like it's a more, like, direct line to, like, somebody had to leak this shit. Like, it's too, cause like the original blog post be shit like, oh, Paul Rudd's looking kind of slender. Maybe he wants to be Ant-Man. You're like, no, it's more than that. Cause when it gets confirmed 8 months later, it's like, no one's that lucky. You could have been like, Matthew McConaughey who was losing weight for his movie. You could be like, oh, maybe he's Ant-Man. No, it didn't everybody be Ant-Man. You fucking knew something.
And
I don't know who told you. It could be Paul Rudd's agent. It could be fucking Marvel. It could be a lot of you, a guy who works parking at the fucking facility. I don't know.
And to be real, I do know that, you know, they do say this is our short list. Like, this is the people we're looking at getting, and we're going to see if we can get one of them. Like, right. I see that shit all the time.
Exactly.
I fully believe that shit comes from the studio.
Right. And then, you know, you can kind of pay attention maybe to who's taking what meetings and shit and guess. Like, I don't think that these sites, some of the reputable ones anyway, I don't think it wouldn't even benefit them to pull the shit out their ass. Like, it really would just only make them look worse. Whereas some of these other sites that are like trying to quote unquote get into the game, it might make them look better to be like, oh, what if so and so did it, you know?
True.
The problem is some of those sites that are just trying to and just do whatever, they get report. Those are what some of these reputable sites use to report to. And I've seen it all the time.
I've seen that,
like,
too.
For instance, the Bryan Cranston as Lex joint.
Yes.
People were reporting that shit all over the place. Oh, he is. And DC was like, no. And then Bryan Cranston was like, no.
Yeah.
So maybe he still is. I don't know. But I've been seeing, like,
well, it's funny, though, because, like, I've seen people talk about people related to the movie address it as like, oh, yeah. I mean, he would be good for that part. But, you know, that's not something we're confirming right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like it could be happening. Mm-hmm. DC is completely taking a different approach to this shit than Marvel, where Marvel seems to be more upfront, where it's like, yeah, we're looking at that guy.
Yeah.
DC seems to be like, just mind your fucking business.
Right.
Gal Gadot is now Wonder Woman.
Well, the funny thing about it is, to me, with like the DC rumors, is DC almost seems like DC is actually putting out fake information, because I remember the Ben Affleck thing caught people off guard because his name wasn't on the short list.
Right.
He had this short list apparently that was put out that people were said, oh yeah, this is a short list we got from our sources close to the situation. Then you're like, Ben Affleck's name was nowhere.
Yeah, this ain't Carl Urban, you know? So I do feel like it's a little bit of, it's coming from both directions, more importantly, what we can agree on 100% of the time, I need these motherfuckers to stop being so pressed to show us pictures from the set.
Come on now, you ruin it.
Dropping hints about the next movie when the other movie isn't out yet.
And he finished.
Like, Bryan Singer pretty much ruined the ending to this fucking X-Men movie. Because he's already told us the Age of Apocalypse is next.
Right. Why would you do that?
Why don't, like, you know you're going to have a teaser scene after the credits. You know everybody's going to stay. all the suspense gone. That would literally be like Joss Whedon being like, yeah, after we get done with Avengers, obviously we're gonna have Infinity Crisis, right? So, you know, right, gotta do that.
Yeah, notice when they talk about like Thanos and stuff, they're just like, yeah, he's gonna be around. Like, that's basically what they say. Like, yeah, we have plans for him.
They didn't, like, they even went so far as to name the next Avengers movies not nothing to do with Infinity Gauntlet, Infinity Crisis, or Thanos.
Just so you know to stop speculating.
And right. And when, and then they announced the other day a second villain, and it's Baron Von Strucker. It's not even like, it's not even like they said, let's announce the second villain. It's Ultron.
Yeah.
It's Thanos. They were just like, somebody you're not even thinking about, so.
Right. It's just like, Bryan Singer, the last thing he tweeted out was, like, a picture of him with some of the X2 writers saying, yeah, we're, brainstorming for X-Men Apocalypse.
Is that dude just happy somebody's paying him attention? Cause I don't understand this. It's like, you do not realize you're fucking with your money. You fucking with other people's money by just releasing all this shit.
He want to be down so bad, man.
I remember when he posted the pictures of, oh yeah, we're gonna have Warpath. He like posted like the actors' chairs with the character's name on the back of them. He posted that. I'm like, for Days of Future Past, and we're like, why would you do that? Because now everybody's getting an X-Men Last Stand feel from this movie. Why are you doing this? Why don't you try a less is more approach, man? Right. I hate the way he approaches movies. Cause he comes off like that guy at the bar who's trying to prove to you that he's a know-it-all and knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, let your movie sell itself. Like, your movie will sell itself. You don't have to, nobody else goes out of their way to super sell their shit. Like, The Amazing Spider-Man, they quietly dropped the trailer. They didn't even drop the poster. The poster was seen at somewhere else, and they were like, "Wait a minute, there's two other villains on this poster."
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute, they didn't talk about other villains. Like, they talked about the Rhino, but they didn't talk about and that Green Goblin. Wait,
right?
I didn't like Sony didn't it was like, yeah, you know, yeah. And then they dropped the trailer. You're like, oh shit.
Right.
Oh shit.
And that oh shit moment is what I feel like Hollywood's trying to take from us. Like, we actually named
Take it away to the prizes.
Yeah, we actually named the last episode Stop Spoiling Your Own Movies.
Yeah.
Yes, because then you're angry.
I'm just getting so tired of it, man. Another thing they announced was Joaquin Phoenix is in talks to possibly play Lex Luthor in Man of Steel.
I don't think he's gonna take it, but I would like that. But I don't think. I
was thinking about it at first, and I was like, I don't even know if I like him as Man of Steel, but as Lex Luthor. But he's a good actor. He could play it. He could pull the part off. He got the green eyes. I don't know if his hair is the head is the smoothest, but if he's willing to shave it, I don't know why he couldn't do it.
The thing about it, with him, he hasn't like things that people were saying is like. He isn't really like doing big blockbuster movies like this.
Yeah.
So he might not even accept it because apparently
he's turned down shit in the past, right?
Turned down the Joker apparently in The Dark Knight.
Another thing that's really weird though, the week before they were trying to say Idris Elba was leaked as possibly Lex Luthor. And by the way, these are the things that make me think studios have something to do with it because it's literally becoming a weekly Man of Steel update.
Mm-hmm.
It really has turned into like, and it's never two in a week. It's always one. Like, what the fuck is, I mean, it would be brilliant. I don't know. One day I'm gonna get to the bottom of this shit, dog. Somebody,
you're just investigating.
Somebody gonna slip up and we're gonna find out like,
the truth.
Somebody's making sure like as part of public relations that you leak that one thing a week. So that people never stop talking about your movie or something.
And the thing about it is, like what they need to realize is, dude, we're already sold.
We're gonna see it. Stop. Right. No one cares.
No, like, notice, we barely get anything for the Marvel Studios movies. If you think about it, like we don't get anything for. We haven't gotten anything for Avengers Ultron. Like we got that one little news that they might be looking for somebody for Baron Von Strucker, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Other than like a few casting notes here and there, we really don't have anything else for that movie.
Yep.
Cap 2. Other than the trailer, what else have we heard about Cap 2?
Yep.
It's
the,
like,
the only shit we hear from Marvel, because they're doing so good, the only thing we hear from Marvel movies is, will Robert Downey Jr. come back or not?
Right.
Like, are we gonna pay him more money than God, or exactly what God makes?
Right. But I actually think that with them doing Paul Rudd now, that's like, I think it opened them up to, like, they can use Robert Downey Jr. a little bit less, because it seems like Paul Rudd really likes the character and really wants to be in there. I think a combination of him and Edgar Wright will make a really good movie, because The World's End had really good action scenes in it for a comedy. Mm-hmm.
I forget who I was trying to tell somebody that Edgar Wright was going to be great for Ant-Man, and they were like, man, but can he do action? He keeps doing these funny. I was like, do you watch the movies, or you just like saying that shit? He also did Hot Fuzz had good action.
Oh, I love Hot Fuzz.
Did you guys see The World's End?
Yeah. Yes. With the robots smashing?
Yes.
Ooh, those action, the bar fights?
Yes. Like, I don't even know. Like, I was so mad when they were like, "Oh, Edgar Wright." Yeah, right. I was like, Scott Pilgrim, The World's End, Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead.
Like a badass, yo.
Right. I don't understand. Man, anyway, we got an email. I mean, a comment in. Chuck Spears writes saying, "Well, it really messed with my brain when you and the jailer were talking about the X-Men timelines. The 2-issue story arc of Days of Future Past came out in 1980." Age of Apocalypse came out 15 years later and was a mega X book crossover that lasted maybe a full year. Maybe the stories appeared with AOA first in the animated X-Men series. It's a small quibble. I know I just fell into a nerd trap and displayed some nerd rage, but I love you guys and I don't want other nerds tearing you down. The thing is, it doesn't matter when the stories took place anyway. Bryan Singer gives zero fucks about the continuity anyway. Yeah, we couldn't figure out when I just really couldn't remember when Days of Future Past happened and when Age of Apocalypse happened, because I feel and here's the other thing, Chuck, that you might not take into account. They redo stories sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Days of Future Past probably happened once and never again. Same thing with the Dark Phoenix saga. There's a definitive one, but then they retold the Dark Phoenix story like 17 fucking different ways. Yeah. Every time there's a new X-Men out. So I'm confused because Marvel confused me, not because I'm some asshole who's just like, I don't care. I do care. It fucked me up. I don't know when it happened.
I don't think that they only did one Days of Future Past. But the thing about it, I always tell people, it's not a good read, first of all. You know, it's not a great read. Age of Apocalypse, way better read, first of all. And I know, like, super nerds are going to be mad about that, but go back and read that shit. It's two-story arc, and it sucks. Mm-hmm. All right. They never did it again, but the thing about it is apparently that alternate future still exists on the timeline somewhere, or some weird shit happened with that. So I don't fucking know.
But also they're doing Days of Future Past now, right? For Marvel. Like, they're doing it again.
They are?
Yeah, they're doing it now. Like, they call it something else, but it's the old X-Men fucking meeting the new X-Men and.
Oh yeah, that's the new thing now.
Yeah, like they do this shit a lot. I'm confused, but it's not like, for the record, just Chuck Spears, I'm not purposely like trying to obfuscate it.
Okay.
I'm just fucking confused. So I like literally we had a 5-minute conversation. Where I was like, but which one happened? No, Age happened first. Cause remember, didn't this happen? And then she's like, well, but then if it without the time travel thing, then how the fuck did Bishop get back? And he came from the Age of Apocalypse. I'm like, yeah, he did. But what about, you know, so we went back and forth and I was thinking the whole time, I'm just thinking like, man, fuck Marvel.
Yeah. So technically what that happened was Bishop didn't come from Age of Apocalypse. He was already there. He was just the one character that in Age of Apocalypse realized that there was a different time. It was an alternate timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So he was introduced after Days of Future Past. Then they do the whole, Age of Apocalypse actually happens after, what is it? It's after, the Fatal Attraction crossover. I mean, they just had so many crossovers.
Yeah.
Definitely is in the future, but it's another alternate timeline that doesn't, it's just, like you said, it's fucking.
Yeah, cause I want to say right around that same time, Executioner's song happened.
Mm-hmm.
With fucking Strife coming back.
No, that was actually, so it goes, if I remember correctly, mm-hmm. it goes, Days of Future Past, then you have a little bit of time, then you have Executioner's Song,
mm-hmm.
that also had time travel in it, didn't it?
Right, cause Strife is Cable from mm-hmm. Age of Apocalypse.
Right. It's, no, not from Age of Apocalypse, from something.
I mean, from, Yeah, but you, yeah. From whatever timeline.
So, yeah, so you have all these alternate timelines that somehow, I don't know which ones. The problem with the X-Men timeline is the alternate timelines aren't really connected, but some of them are connected, and then they are connected here. Like, it's fucking confusing.
Yeah, dog. Like, and the reason I say Strife is from Apocalypse is because in Age of Apocalypse, he was, instead of being Cable, he was Strife. Mm-hmm. Like, he was an underling for fucking Apocalypse.
And then in Age of Apocalypse, he wasn't Cable, he was just X-Man.
This is killing me. I'm stopping this conversation. Chuck Spears, your heart is in the right place, and thank you for trying to help the show. I'm now more confused than when we started this shit.
It's confusing, and that's all the reason why I really hate the fact that they're doing this Apocalypse thing next, because it seems like what Fox doesn't understand is, and this is one thing that Marvel has gotten, and I think DC has finally gotten too, is you cannot take these crossovers and story things from the comic books and turn them into movies. Mm-hmm. Like, even though they call it Age of Ultron, we didn't even come out and said, this has nothing to do with the book.
Yeah.
Like, I actually came up with the name for the movie first, and I told the guys when they were talking about doing a crossover, I was like, well, you could use Age of Ultron. That's what I'm going to use for the movies. And he was like, but it's completely separate. They're not related whatsoever. Mm-hmm. DC, I mean, Fox is going around going, hey, Days of Future Past. Now they're like, hey, guess what we're going to do? They're not even calling it Age of Apocalypse. They're like, X-Men Apocalypse. But you know they're going to try to do some Age of Apocalypse shit in it. And it's just like, no, man. Age of Apocalypse is too big, to do one movie.
Right.
Like, that is a huge...
It's a whole nother universe.
It's a huge crossover. Like, why won't you just do an X-Men movie?
Dude, remember when Age of Apocalypse came out and it was just like, the next month, every book changed?
Yeah.
It wasn't even... Because, wow. Like, it wasn't like, oh, you can go pick up Wolverine and keep that story. No, that shit's over. Next week, you go pick it up, it's Weapon X, and he got one arm.
Yep.
Shit just changed.
That's why I love that series, because it changed everything, and it was more gritty, it was more graphic. Like I said, my favorite part of that joint is I was reading the Excalibur joint with Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. He killed Deadpool by teleporting his head off.
Yes.
He put a headlock and teleported his head off, and I was just like, did he just...
Yeah, niggas was dying in this shit.
Yes.
Like people you know and love.
Yes.
Sabretooth was good.
Yeah, everybody caught it, yo.
Dog.
Everybody caught it.
The end was just... It's just literally page after page of just characters dying.
Yes.
And it's like...
Like, you can't do that in a one-shot movie. You cannot capture the essence of it. And so to me, when Bryan Singer says, we're bringing Apocalypse, I'm like... You do realize the reason why that when Marvel is bringing Thanos, that they've expanded this and they've made it so that it's basically been going through three phases of their movies. Mm-hmm. You do realize why, because Thanos is such a big character that in order to do this, you have to build him up.
Right.
You're gonna go from not having any basic mention of Apocalypse to now going to a movie called Apocalypse. Right. Now, I'm not saying it can't work.
Right.
It could. Like I said, I see a lot of stuff. I'm like, I don't know if it could work or not. But to me, it just doesn't make any sense. Why would you go out and just bring a big gun out and not build him up over several
years? And Fox has always been about spectacle over the actual story.
That's why Fantastic Four is bullshit.
Yeah, it worries me because, you know, Fantastic Four 2 is like,
all of them terrible.
Look at Silver Surfer, and I'm like, I do like me some Silver Surfer.
Right.
And you see a minute of him in the trailer, and you're like, I can't wait. And then you see him in the fucking movie, and you're like, he can't even talk. What the fuck is going on?
We talked about this before. People give Fox a curve. Like, I've seen comments where people are going, man, Fox's movies are good. I don't know what you guys are complaining about. No. You like the characters, and... Right. So, because Fox gives you an ounce of something, you're excited. Like, I'm seeing people so excited about Apocalypse. I'm like, but Fox is not going to do it right.
Right. So, you're describing my conversation with my friends on Thursday.
Right. It's like, you'll get Apocalypse and it won't be good.
They told me, have you seen the trailer for X-Men, the new X-Men? And I said, yeah, Days of Future Past looks terrible. And it was like, as I was saying that, they were talking, it was like, yeah, Days of Future Past looks great. And I was like, what did you say? Like, so they were like, yeah, it looks like it's going to get more serious. I was like, see, man, this is why we can't have nice things. Y'all, y'all think that I was like, but what about the Wolverine? It was so bad. I mean, it's good for most of the movie. I was like, who the fuck is, what kind of, who says that? Well, you know, look, man, it's good for most of the movie, so just keep making those.
Dude, when I see people give things like Man of Steel a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, and they're just like, well, I don't know, it's like the end is just nothing nonstop action, it's just too much distraction. And then you see reviews for The Wolverine, they call it the best comic movie of the year, and they go, I mean, granted, the last 30 minutes of the movie is some bullshit.
Right.
Nigga, you didn't see the last 30 minutes. The last 30 minutes of the movie is, like, universally, I don't know anybody who liked The Wolverine who goes, yeah, that last part is the best part. They're like, yeah, that last part really was
terrible. Bullshit.
It's terrible.
Yes.
So everybody says that. So you say the last part of the movie. Since when does that make it a good movie?
Right.
Since when? Like, if another movie did that, you would be pissed. Mm-hmm. But because it's Fox and it's the characters that we love, you're just like, well, you know, they got most of it right, so okay. Like, people are most mad at Iron Man 3 because of Mandarin. Mm-hmm. The Mandarin twist. That one twist, people are legit mad about that movie. The Wolverine shits on the entire last quarter of its movie. And people were like, I can live with that. I just want people to be honest. Like, just say you're grading on a curve. I get it, too. I have no expectations, but I want them to be good. Like,
man, by the way, in this discussion where I was like, the movies are terrible, can you just admit that much? You just told me the last 30 minutes is terrible, but you keep telling me that you're excited for the next one. And he was like, you like Transformers? I was like, right. And what do I tell you? No matter how bad they are, I will like the movies. They're terrible movies that I like.
Right.
I'm not trying to come out. I'm not gonna lie to you and pretend I didn't enjoy them, but I also won't bullshit you and tell you that they're good. They're not good.
No, they're not.
Just say that.
Right. And the thing that people don't seem to get to with the reason why I don't have any faith in Fox going forward with these movies is they went away from the one winning formula they had. Like I said, I'm not a fan of First Class, but I see why a lot of people are, and I don't consider that really grading on a curve too much. I'm like, they had something good. That was a good start.
It had promise.
Right. Then they got rid of the writers for it. They got rid of the director for it. Now they're going right now. Now they're talking about X-Men Apocalypse. You have Bryan Singer sitting in the fucking room with the X2 scribes. So wait a minute. So we're going to go back to, now we're going back to Bryan Singer, but we're going back to X2 writers?
Dog, you already, man, I told y'all early how much I love First Class, and I was the first one to tap out on this Bryan Singer shit. Soon as I was like, so, cause they were like, hey, did you hear, man? They're gonna make it's kind of like a sequel to, the X-Men. They're gonna keep it going. I'm like, oh, cool, man. Cause they got a good new launching point. They can, like, you know, introduce maybe Cyclops and some other shit. Yeah, Bryan Singer's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I went back and looked at the credits for First Class. Like, he didn't direct this.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I was good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been out on this for a while, man. I'm hoping for the best, but I'm just really, I'm preparing myself. I'm not going to let the Wolverine happen to me again. I'm preparing myself for the worst.
That's what I'm doing.
And like, I hope they just surprise me.
Like I said, I didn't hate the Wolverine. Like, up until that last part, I enjoyed it. And that's why I just haven't owned it in Blu-ray, because I'm like, they just cut that last part out.
Man, they got me so bad, man. Cause
you
75% of the movie, I was like, they're finally doing it right.
Right?
Like, I was so hopeful. I was like, I went from like, just don't be as bad as the first to like, you know, this could be, Yu-Gi-Oh, okay, cool. They go, and then by, I'm like, oh, Shingen, okay, here goes the final fight. Why is there so many minutes left in the movie?
And, so many minutes.
Yeah. All right. Marvel vs. Capcom is gonna get taken out of the digital stores for Xbox Live and PSN, because of licensing. So if you want to buy those games, if you haven't already, you need to buy them now. After the end of the year, I think the 26th for 360, the 17th for PSN, so that's already passed, you cannot buy these games anymore. and you can't get any of the DLC.
Well, damn.
Yeah, licensing ran out, so
they was like, nope, we ain't renewing.
I don't know if they won't renew, but I think you have to negotiate licensing and shit, so... If you don't have a deal, you know, at the end of the year, they can shop these around. That's why one studio can make a Wolverine movie and then, you know, 2 years later, another one can.
Okay.
So, just letting people know. You can buy a gold. Someone bought a gold plated Xbox for $10,000. Xbox One, I mean.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, does it even work?
Trinidad James bought the shit. It's heavy enough, guys.
Right.
What's the point of this? I hope it melts the gold. Attack on Titan. Possibly about to get a movie.
Yes.
And they actually have like a quote unquote movie of people in cosplaying and the costumes for Attack on Titan.
This is my shit. If they do it right, this is gonna be epic.
But it's making people, it's kind of like the Halo thing where it's, you know, it's short, it doesn't really, it's not really about anything, but it's just people dressing up in costume and kind of running around the woods. And you know, for people that have seen Attack on Titan, yeah, it's the first time I went, yeah, why can't we do that live action? So hopefully, you know, hopefully,
if it's anything like the cartoon, it should be good. They said it's a manga.
Yeah.
Manga. I haven't read that yet.
Yeah, but it's not like a 2-hour movie. Like it's quote unquote movie. Like it's this video here.
Okay.
But just saying, like, it gives a lot of people are now going, could they do a movie? I would watch it.
Me too.
Another thing that is happening, I don't know where I put this article, but my man, but they're thinking about making a musical out of, or actually I think it's confirmed, they're gonna make a musical out of Death Note.
Ooh.
Yeah, so another anime. You know,
we actually went to go see that live action in the movie theater, which was epic.
Yeah, I'm completely in on this shit. So
me too.
If that's something that I can like find a way to attend or watch somehow,
yeah,
I want to watch it.
Me too. Yeah.
Somebody was like, "Oh no!" I was like, "Why would you even say that?"
Yeah.
did you not enjoy the fucking series, or are you just saying, like, how could they ruin it? Like, it's the only musical I would consider watching. So
ain't that the truth?
Yeah, I don't watch musicals, and this is to be the first and only way to get me in there. So, there's a new device called a reactive grip.
What's that?
Heard about that.
It's supposed to connect to like your, you know, like a controller, like you do to your to your video games, PC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gonna allow you to feel the weight of virtual objects through a combination of software and hardware.
No, thank you.
What? Karen's just like, fuck that.
Right.
Nah, my controller is enough. I don't need to be feeling the real weight of shit.
Yeah, it's interesting because when you throw in this with the fact that, the next article, Oculus Rift, just got a $75 million, funding, grant or whatever. Shit could be pretty interesting for the future of gaming.
Yeah, I'm really interested in seeing what happens in 2 or 3 years with this new Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a good camera that you can do some shit with it, yo. And
yeah,
you add some reactive grip type shit and stuff like that, man.
Right. Like, I'm thinking you go in the Oculus Rift is this thing that goes on your eyes and pretty much puts you in the world 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you look around, that's what you see. And then you put the fucking haptic gloves on. Yeah, this shit could be real fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking about
although there's certain things that I just wouldn't play with that, like Battlefield 4. No.
Yeah. That is the other part. Scary as shit.
Right. Could be. I'm joking about PTSD, but you're gonna really get motherfuckers with PTSD playing Battlefield.
You're gonna be talking to your psychiatrist. They're gonna be like, what happened? Was you in Vietnam or something? Nah, man. Battlefield 3.
Because I don't say this shit on Twitter because, you know, people get, you know, their feelings and take shit too wrong. But I'm really like, I'm playing Battlefield 4 and I'm like, yo, dog, is this really what war's like? Because no thanks, man.
Yeah.
Like no thanks, dog. It's like, because you literally hear bullets fly past your head. Like, you'll be somewhere and you'll hear a sniper's bullet pass by your head. That's how you know a sniper shooting at you. You're like, oh, niggas, you guys really go through this shit?
Yeah, I already have enough problem playing Walking Dead Clementine.
Yeah. Like, that shit was scary watching him watch you. She was in the forest running this shit. I was like, run, bitch, run!
You missed the opening 5 minutes, and I'm not spoiling anything. I'm just gonna say, I played the opening 5 minutes and turned the game off, yesterday.
Oh, was that serious?
Yeah. I don't like being Clementine. And
dude, as soon as I heard that they're playing as Clementine, I was like, shit, I remember what I went through with Lara Croft and Tomb Raider, and I was like, I don't know how. Yeah, why even I've been sitting on it since Tuesday?
Yeah, dog. Something happens within the first 5 minutes that made me turn the fucking game off.
Oh, that's serious.
I was like, I'm not ready for this. I'm going back to watch TV. This is stupid. Like,
Oh, man, it's like, man, I'm not ready for this. Man, I'm going to play back Battlefield 4 or something.
Right, yeah. Let me go play Call of Duty.
Right, calm my nerves a little bit.
Yeah, dog. Jason Statham wants a new Oscar category for stunt actors. I support the fuck out of this.
Me too. Oh,
yeah, I don't know why. I thought there would have already been one.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I'm like, that's right. Because think about all the time that Jackie Chan used to do those movies, and you just see that, like, all the shit he used to go through in a movie, and you realize that this motherfucker never got an Oscar for that shit.
I'll do you one better. The Raid Redemption.
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
They killed people in that movie.
I literally think
somebody got to get an award.
I think somebody literally died in that movie.
Yeah, I remember when we watched the movie, I don't know if it's still streaming on Netflix, but anybody that loves The Raid, you should get your hands on this movie. It's called Chocolate.
Yes!
I used to watch. I wanted to watch it. And I don't know if it's still there or not.
Yeah. Excellent. Take the time. You'll appreciate it later. There are several scenes where you just go, I think that nigga's dead.
Yeah.
Because they don't really use stunt. Like, some of the stunt people also are the fighters.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, man, there's a scene. You'll know when you get to it. But there's a scene where they're fighting on fire escapes. They kick a nigga. He goes down 4 or 5 flights of fire escapes, lands on the street. They keep fighting. At the end of the movie, after the credits, they show him going to the hospital.
Oh, shit.
Like, I was like, because I remember being like, oh, was that? How did you fake that?
Oh, no.
That's impossible.
It was no fake about
it. Yeah, I'm like, there's no CGI in this movie. There's no fucking wires. Like, how could you possibly fake? Oh, you didn't. Okay.
Yeah.
You really broke your fall with your face.
Yeah. Pray for that dude.
Yeah, because in the Raid Redemption, the first part, we seen one where somebody, like, literally got their back bent in half over concrete.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, I really do think that nigga died.
So, yeah, Jason Statham, I agree 100%.
I do too.
We should see that.
Not only that, but I want, like, because, you know, the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes came out with the teaser trailer, and it just reminded me that Andy Serkis has not gotten anything for his roles he's played in any of the CGI stuff he's done, and I'm just like, well, I think, like, they gave it to, like, Gollum, but they didn't give him, like, he acts in these movies.
Mm-hmm.
He really is an actor. He really does work. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you should be able to get at least a nomination for doing some shit like that. I mean, that's hard.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah.
Frank Darabont, who's the Walking Dead creator for the TV show, and it was a big thing that he got, like, kind of ousted from the show unceremoniously. He's now suing the Walking Dead. He wants tens of millions of dollars. The statement from his lawyer is just so funny because it makes Frank sound like the asshole.
Mm-hmm.
It says AMC's conduct towards Frank today has been nothing short of atrocious. Unfortunately, the fans of The Walking Dead have suffered as well by being deprived of his creative talent.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, I love how they're preying. They're preying on the internet outrage of nerds who swear the show got worse.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't.
Who I feel like if I could hit rewind on the internet, they've been shitting on the show since day one anyway.
Yep.
And I'm sure they shit on some of his episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he just gonna get stuck under a horse. They ain't gonna kill no zombies this week. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Battlefield 4 is getting sued. Speaking of lawsuits, class action lawsuit that they really don't have anyone to get the money for. Like, it's a weird lawsuit where they're like, the game was sold under a bad bill of goods. It's glitchy. And I hope they don't win.
And I hope every Battlefield game I've ever gotten has been glitchy.
Not just that. I mean, I agree, you know, but I hope they don't win because if you can start suing people for their games not being good or having glitches,
come on now,
then it's gonna fuck up games. Shit's not gonna come out for fucking
years.
Yeah, like why would I put out Arkham Asylum at, or Arkham Origins at all? Mm-hmm. Like I just be like, oh, you know what, guys, can't get it perfect. I know we could put a patch out in a couple months and probably fix it, but let's just push the shit back another 6 months. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, we got six more. Okay. You know what? There's another thing, a little thing I was thinking about. People probably will have an issue with that. So let's just push it back 6 more mm-hmm. months. Like,
no,
I like getting the game. And with, updates now, we have more power in our hands ever to get something fixed while we still own it.
Yes.
I'll take that, please.
And things like, don't have to be perfect when you first get it in your hands.
Like what, they're doing with Battlefield 4. They said, man, we have glitches. We're gonna work on it. So it was like, we're holding the DLC. We're not gonna, they pull people off of other games. They pull people off DLC. We're like, we're gonna get this shit right.
Right.
It's like, I'll take that. You know, I get to play it while you guys keep working on it. Fuck it. All right. You guys working hard on it.
Somebody brought up the Tony Jaa movie also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, him too. He should win some. Tony Jaa might win the Stuntman of the Year because he does all that shit himself too.
Yeah.
I thought this was funny. It's, I think, what is it? 20 years of. 36 years of console prices adjusted for inflation.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And it's all the consoles over the years. The original NES, right now adjusted for inflation, $412. Sega Genesis, $346. TurboGrafx, $365. Here's where it gets a little crazy. The Neo Geo, $1,125. I remember this coming out and being like, there's no fucking way in hell my parents are getting me this. So
no way.
Why even ask?
I am gonna say I've had the one, two. I've had two of the four so far.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, any kids that own the Neo Geo also brought like caviar for lunch.
Yeah, they rode their pony to school. Yeah,
yeah, like, dog.
Not the ponies.
I didn't know anybody with this shit. The SNES, Super Nintendo. 1991. I remember I had one of these, but I didn't get it till so late in the game, dude. Everybody was switching over. Mm-hmm. And I got it. So, that was $332. $1,095, the 3DO. Mm. Who bought this?
Mm. I don't know.
It had one of the worst controllers of all time, too. I do remember that. Mm-hmm. Only controller I ever remember with three buttons in a row. Who does that? No one can hold it that way. Anyway, Jaguar.
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, it was, it didn't have very many games for it.
I remember that.
And, people was hyping it up because I think it might have been one of the first ones to use disc.
Yeah.
So, PlayStation 446. I'm actually surprised about that. But, I guess over the years, it probably went down a lot.
Yeah, I've had, four? Mm-hmm. Owned four out of those eight.
Atari, $2,600. $796 adjusted for inflation.
I've owned that one.
1977. Yeah, by the time you owned it, though, I guarantee it was like $5 adjusted for inflation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was old.
Intellivision was $935.
What the hell is that?
It's like the...
It's always the one that nobody had as the most expensive one.
Yeah, and that's why nobody had it.
Mm-hmm.
ColecoVision, $410. Everybody had that. Mm-hmm. Also terrible. 1986, awfully named Master System. I did not have this. Mm-mm. The NES, $412. Genesis, $346. Man, this really shows you how games really haven't changed that much.
Mm-mm.
With the inflation.
Right. And like, it makes me, knowing that, but it also reminds you of the system we used to have and how far we've come with these systems.
And how so much better they are.
Man, NES used to just be blocks.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Like, run your block into that block. Oh, you dead.
Yes.
TurboGrafx, $365. Neo Geo, $1,125. I knew a dude with a fucking Neo Geo, and I knew a dude with a Jaguar, too. And I was, both of those dudes, I was like, you got to be fucking crazy. Like, I'd come over there and be like, but look at this game. I was like, the one of the two that you have?
One of two.
Who plays this shit? There was another one I wanted. Oh, GameCube, $259. So it's actually done really well considering.
Yeah.
Xbox, $389, $360, $348. So it's actually like because it came out later.
Yeah.
The inflation on it is not even as bad. PlayStation 3, still 567.
Mm-hmm. Shit. When it's 600 when it came out?
Yeah. I just bought an Xbox One for $500 and I'm still going, shit, PS3 for 567? Anyway, PS4 is 400, Xbox One, 500. So, let me see. There's a couple more. Okay, we talked about Death Note. Oh, PS4 and Xbox One may use up to 3 times more electricity than the last version.
Oh, that shit. Makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. like they put that shit out there like, guess what, guys? It's going to make your bill go up. It's like, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's the future.
All right.
And it does way more shit.
Mm-hmm.
X2 writers working on X-Men Apocalypse. Chris already covered it. That's why I have Chris on the show. Here's another studio leak we don't need. Batman versus Superman costumes nearly finalized.
Oh, yeah.
Why do we need to hear this? Hey, they're nearly finalized. So you gonna show them to us? Nah.
Right.
Why are you talking about it?
So what, how do we know? Well, we're screen testing right now, taking some shots. All right, cool. You got anything else to show us?
Mm-mm. Why are we talking?
But we almost done. Okay, then. This is crazy to me. I don't even know how much these cost. Have you been hearing about these Steam boxes, Chris?
Yeah, a little bit.
I have no interest in getting one.
What's a Steam box?
It's like the streaming, like, I guess instead of like buying games, you can like stream it or some shit.
Okay.
It's like a Valve makes it. It was a like gaming company. And, they've been putting out test machines to people. I want to say it's like 300 of them or something for people to test. And, I want to say that you don't, like put cartridges or disc in it. Like you just stream the games or some shit. But, they,
a satellite dish or something?
Kind of like internet? Netflix for games, kind of almost.
Okay.
But without as much, like, with not supposed to have any lag and shit. I don't know. Somebody write us in, let me know exactly what this shit's supposed to do.
How do you play the shit?
What do you mean how you play it? You, I guess, download or, you know, stream games. Like, you just say, I want to play this game, and you start playing it.
Oh, straight from that? It's not like a gaming system?
It's a gaming system, but it's, like I said, it's like saying Netflix. You don't need to own the Blu-ray to play something on Netflix, right?
Oh, okay.
So imagine Netflix that you could, you know, interact with as a video game.
Okay.
Anyway, point being, they broke down the pieces of the box. $1,300. $1,300 worth of components.
How much are they gonna sell it for?
Right. Nigga, what? You can't,
who's buying that?
This is untenable. It's impossible to sell this, and even at a loss you're looking at probably $1,000 fucking console.
Right.
Who gonna buy this?
Right.
I want to know the 300 people that signed up to test it. That is crazy
and dumb.
And they're prototypes, so I'm assuming some probably have less parts or less things than other to kind of see like which ones are the best. But if all of them are around this cost, fuck it. Nobody buying
it. No, thank you.
Y'all gonna be on that list, with fucking Jaguar, HD and the other shit. And we already covered the Baron Von Strucker news. So that's all the news, man. I can't believe we got through all that news. Chris, man, thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you, Chris.
Have me on. Like I said, I just wanted to get out there and spread the good word of the Xbox One, the new money religion, and just to say this Creed, 4 thing is a lot better than, a lot of us anticipated it would be.
Dude, I might cop it as soon as we get off this show, because I got to spend this coupon by the 24th.
Before it expires.
Oh, yep. Yeah. That's definitely something that I think you'll enjoy, yeah.
All right, cool, man. So, yeah, man, make sure you check out Chris, moviestrailerreviews.net, it's the Indie Check podcast. You know, we'll see you guys soon. I didn't even think we have enough news to do a show this week. 2 hours. And so, yeah, that's amazing. All right, man. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.